Now, down to the field with the voice of Bulldog football, Chris Chatburg.
Good evening, Bulldog sports fans, and welcome to Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field, where tonight the Sandpoint Bulldogs will take on the Coeur d'Alene Vikings. We've got a great game coming your way in just a little while. The Bulldog Hall of Famer, Jay Vandenberg, will be joining us in just a few minutes. It is a spectacular Friday night for football, just the kind of night you would expect as we head into the Labor Day weekend. And we've got two teams coming in here that should produce a pretty exciting football game tonight. The Sandpoint Bulldogs, of course, coming off last week's incredible thrashing of the Post Falls Trojans. A big victory over a 5A squad. The Bulldogs dominated from start to finish. And Coeur d'Alene comes in after taking on a Utah school last week, having a rough go of it. So you know the Vikings will not be taking the Bulldogs lightly in any way, shape, or form, because they are not going to be subject to the same pitfalls that came up against the Trojans. So if the Bulldogs are going to earn a win tonight, they're going to have to do it with the Vikings fully having their attention. We've got a great time coming your way. This is the Yokes Fresh Market pregame show here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103. Yokes Fresh Market, located in Ponderay next to the Barnum Mall. Yokes, a part of your life and a part of the community. We're going to take our first time out here on the pregame show. When we come back, we'll talk with Bulldog head coach Ryan Knowles on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yokes Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yokes is part of your life and part of our community. Yokes Fresh Market.
Welcome back into the Oaks Fresh Market pregame show here as we get set for kickoff against Coeur d'Alene. We're talking with head Bulldog football coach Ryan Knowles. Coach, first question. Blake Sherrill last week went off the field. After the game, it seemed positive. Can you just give us a quick update on how he's doing?
He's doing great. He's been at practice every day this week. Not practicing, but has a small hairline compression fracture in his spine, so he's going to be out for a little while. But no nerve damage. Knew that on the field, but taking the precautionary measures. Sure. So it was kind of easy to move on. We got the after the x-rays, we got no reinforcement that he is going to be fine, and there is no permanent damage.
Okay, that's good news, and we want to touch on a couple of the aspects of the game. First of all, wow, you found a kicker with a leg.
Yeah, Lasse Kuhn is a foreign exchange student from Germany, and he came in. We were just planning on putting him on JV this year, and letting him get the experience of American football, because that was his dream. And he's been a soccer player. He's not new to putting a foot on a ball, and
a tale as old as time.
And he steps in there, and my JV coach Warren Egger, who also works with the kickers, is like, hey, Lassie has a leg. I was like, uh-huh. Okay. So the first day we did kickoff, we threw him out there, and he pops two through the end zone. It's like, okay, come on, come on up. And, I wasn't surprised. He had a little wind to our back in that, mm-hmm. in the first quarter there, and it died off after the first quarter. And, I think he got two touchbacks then, and then two later with no wind. So, pretty nice to have.
But what a great element to have when they're starting on the 20. There's no return. I thought that played a part in the start that you guys got off to.
Absolutely. And it's also a mentality thing as well, just a strong leg. And, I always say the special teams are the finish work. If you're talking about a house, you can have a great foundation and great framing and, everything can be in place. But if the trim is off, it's the first thing people notice. And when the first thing they see at Bulldog football is a kickoff that goes 5 yards out of the end zone, it's a nice touch.
So, yeah, and the first impressions, of course, of last week, Post Falls, as they have done seemingly repeatedly, went for it on fourth down in their own end. They didn't get it, and then, boom, first play, touchdown. That's pretty much how you would draw it up if you could.
Absolutely, and that's where you're like, okay, we like to play defense first. We like to kick off, and they won the toss and took the ball, so it's another deal there. But, you know, we kick off. They get one first down. We stop them on fourth and one, which was a great play by Lane Dunkel in the backfield, senior, first-year starter, senior, and makes a huge play for us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a turnover. You know, get the ball at the 38-yard line. And next play, Garrett Cox catches the wheel on touchdown the sideline for a score. And, you know, kick another touchback, mm-hmm. you know, get a three and out on defense. We get the ball back and score again. So it's, you know, with them getting the ball, we're up 14-0 with about 4 minutes, 5 minutes into the game, and it was, you know, from there it was, all right, let's go.
I also thought that there was a real chance for Post Falls towards the end of the first half to, you know, kind of get back into it. You know, they get that quick touchdown, mm-hmm. they get the ball back, they have an opportunity to, you know, really make it a game going into the second half, but the defense once again steps up and slams the door shut, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, we, you know, at the end of that first half, we were kind of doing typical first game defensive stuff. You know, we were mixing up some calls and guys were out of position and, you know, just playing some really bad defense there for a second. And, you know, I kind of told the guys all along, hey, we're going to have some adversity. There's going to be some, there's no huddle. They're going to strain us. They're going to stress us. And I was proud to see the guys respond from that, but still like, hey, we, you know, that's got to be a first game deal. It mm-hmm. can't be a second, third, fourth game deal. So, you know, I was happy to see that. We obviously had the offense controlling the ball and controlling the clock on offense, which, you know, that gives a defense a great feel, you know, to be a little more aggressive and do what you want because you know that the offense is running the ball. And like I say, the clock is ticking. So.
And running the ball, you did constantly and repeatedly. And not only that, but showed some new formation. I think we talked about it last week. It was pretty successful week one.
You know, and I'm thankful and happy for Coach Steelbar, Jeremy. You know, he reinvented himself a little bit from last year and looked at some things and put in a couple of things, not just the formation, but some other things that hasn't really done before, and it showed. It showed. He's a, you know, he's a resilient coach. He's got a great staff, you know, on the offensive side of the ball to get the guys to execute. And, you know, like I say, winning's a great deal, and there's some things that we got to get better at. But when you're able to have Cox and Pettit in the backfield side by side, you know, and I'll just say it, when you put in our screen game, which is really, really good, trust me, been trying to defend it in practice all August, you know, you got the field spread from sideline to sideline with threats all the way across the board. So,
and you know, to get back to defense momentarily before we move on to the Coeur d'Alene Vikings, you had some guys on the back end of your defense who, you know, many of us coming into the game might have thought, yeah, I don't know how this is going to stand up, but they played pretty darn well.
Well, it just goes back to, like, you know, we graduated a couple really good seniors, but they were doing the same thing last year this time. You know, Trevin Adam and Adam Buchholz hadn't started a varsity game.
True.
Hadn't even been on a varsity sideline, you know, before their senior year. And they stepped up and they bought in, they did their thing, and both had great years. Well, they graduate and we're kind of doing it again, you know, and ask those guys to buy in. And, you know, Lane Dunkel steps up, Kobe Barlow steps up, Jack Zimmerman steps up. And, you know, those were first starts for all three of those guys. And what I ask of the other two, Luke McCorkle and Cody Steiger, is act like you're veterans. And when you look at Cody Steiger's game, he acts like he's a veteran with 8 tackles and 2 interceptions. Mm. Very opportunistic and had some two really big hits, you know, some incomplete passes that were really big hits. And also, you know, body language, tone of the game really, really helped out with that too.
And, you know, one last thing that I want to touch on, and I, you know, we haven't really mentioned this or talked about this, so I'm not sure what your thoughts were, but, you know, there's a difference between a big hit and, you know, I thought personally sitting on the sidelines that the hit on Cheryl was not necessarily a legal hit. Am I wrong on that? What did you think on that? Thought maybe there was a little too much helmet involved, and, you know, there was no penalty obviously called, so the official didn't see it that way.
No, and what I saw and what film confirmed is actually why Blake got hurt. It was his crown on the other guy's sternum. And if you watch the film, you can see the other guy was down for a minute too, holding his chest where Blake was holding his head, and not really holding his head, but it was mid-back. So just got to do a better job of keeping our eyes up. And, you know, when we go into plays like that, mm-hmm. I mean, Blake's a tough guy.
Yes.
You know, he's not scared of anything. And, you know, he's just got in that moment. You know, we talked about this. So, like I say, it was a bang-bang play. I talked to the officials about it. They saw the same thing as a bang-bang play and just let it go. So,
all right. Well, let's move on. We've got one of the top teams perennially in not only North Idaho but the entire state in any classification coming into Barlow Stadium or Memorial Field. Heard it was the first time in 10 years. Tell us a little bit about what we're going to expect from the Vikings tonight.
No, you got one of the best programs in the state. Like you said, they you know, and it's because of all levels. I mean, they have numbers. They have talent. They have a consistent coaching staff. They have a lot of coaches. You know, they mm-hmm. have the resources. They have the support of a community. You know, so they have it all. You know, they are the gold standard, if you will, of
sure.
of North of football. And you know, so you got to give them that credit. That was built over time. You know, I say this all the time, that I graduated in 97, in the spring of 97. Sean Amos came in the fall of 97. So ever since mm-hmm. I left here in high school, he's been there running the program. I think back to that, seems like a couple lifetimes ago. So he's been there. And,
for all of us.
You know, I like Sean. We've gotten to know each other very well over the last 3 years and done a lot of professional work together, you know, just with schemes and professional development and, you know, just growing the North Idaho football brand. And, you know, that's what I look at here is, you know, Post Falls was a hurdle for us that we've been trying to get over, you know, and this is the next hurdle. We got them back to back here. So, you know, that's how I see it.
Well, we look forward to the game tonight and we'll talk to you afterwards.
Thank you.
And we've got kickoff just around the corner here as we wrap up the Oaks Fresh Market pregame show on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yolk's Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yolk's is part of your life and part of our community. Yolk's Fresh Market.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
And we're back here at Barlow Stadium, War Memorial Field, as we get set for kickoff tonight between Coeur d'Alene and Sandpoint. And I am joined by Jay Vandenberg. Jay, it was an exciting win last week for the Bulldogs, but it's a whole new ball game with the Coeur d'Alene Vikings coming to town.
Hey, you know, there's no surprises on the schedule, right? Sandpoint, you know, typically, you know, they've always played up their schedule. They've always played the likes of Lewis and Post Falls, Lake City, the 5A schools predominantly here in northern Idaho. But what's new for the last 2 years is the Coeur d'Alene Vikings. And,
yep.
And like what you heard in the broadcast, you know, with the interview, you had a nice interview, by the way, with Coach Knowles, is, you know, this is the gold standard, right? Coeur d'Alene's been on top of the 5As for, God, more than yeah. a decade now.
Yep.
Really in dominating fashion and a perennial into the semifinals. You know, I think it's one time in the last 10 years that they didn't reach the semifinals. So, hey, class act program. Sean Ames has been there for, what, God, seems forever.
20. Coach and I were talking after the interview, and he's like, the year after I left, Ames showed up, and
yeah,
the rest is history.
Was it 22, 23 yeah. years? So,
it's been a while.
You know, so, yeah, they're the gold standard, and you know, they're going to come at you. You know, they've got a couple transfers in. They got some speed, you know, but they're not as deadly. They're not as good as I think they were last year. You know, last year they had Perka, the 3-year starter quarterback. This year they replaced him with Braden Bankson, who, you know, he's a smart kid. He's his father's was a former quarterback at Lakeland Hawks back when I played.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they got this Gunnar Giulio guy, and 3-time state wrestling champion at the 5A level. He's probably the best in the state. The kid's you know, he's going to go somewhere big, Division I in wrestling, and you know, and that's where it all starts there with their offense. He's the running back. He's going to be their linebacker too. He's going to play both sides of the ball. One of the keys, and then they got Cameron Cope, a 6'5", defensive lineman. You'll see him probably line up at tight end a little bit tonight too. So hey, there's some players there that the Bulldogs are going to definitely have to key on and try to limit their big play potential. And you look at Sandpoint, Chris, I tell you what a great win, right? I thought Parker Pettit, I thought everything that he did last night really set up the opportunities for Garrett Cox to score 5 touchdowns. He was literally the player of the game. He did everything. Under pressure, was able to elude the pass rush and pick up those positive yards on third down and long several times. So hopefully we can protect him a little better, give him some nice places to run, and hopefully we can get that passing game going a little bit. And hey, hopefully it's a competitive game.
Well, we know one thing. Coeur d'Alene will be keying on him running the football tonight after watching the film from last week. We are closing in on kickoff, and that means that the rumble of the Interstate Concrete Trucks is just about ready to roll. They've been around Sandpoint for more than 30 years, and that's how long they've sponsored Sandpoint High School Bulldog football. Interstate brings you the opening kickoff here on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103. And the Bulldogs will kick it to the Vikings to kick this game off and get things rolling. The Bulldogs will be going from right to left across your radio dial to the red alert sign in the northern end zone. The visiting Vikings with their blue helmets, white uniforms, and blue trim, and very tough to see light gray numbers.
Yeah,
always fun for the announcers. So we are just about ready to get things off and rolling. Two deep backs for Lewiston and the Bulldogs' new secret weapon, Lass Kuhn. We talked about him in the pregame show with Coach, the exchange student with the big leg, and he's about ready to boot it away from the 40-yard line. Looks like it's Walker, one of the two deep. That kick's going to come, and it's going to be out of bounds. So that's a nice long kick, but directionality challenged. It goes out of bounds at about the 3, and that's going to be good starting field position for Coeur d'Alene.
Yeah, it's going to come out at the 35-yard line, Chris. But, again, a nice, powerful leg. And the last Kuhn, was the biggest surprise of us last Friday night.
Yep.
It's like, who's this guy? You know, kicking it out of the end zone. But, hey, little bit of nerves. Got going and he kind of pulled that one a little hard left.
Yes, pull it left. I'm aware of that particular problem from time to time. Okay, here come the Vikings out onto the field, led by their quarterback Braden Bengston. Bengston, one back behind him, and three wides to the left. Handoff into the backfield. A pretty good push there by the Bulldogs. Nearly tackled in the backfield. It's going to be a short 1-yard run for the Vikings. Right up the middle. And a nice job there for the Bulldogs on first down.
Yeah, good job right there. Will Hirsch just really beat that left tackle off the edge there. Forced Julio to cut it up a little quicker than you want. But there's a slew of Bulldogs there to make a nice tackle in the play. But I tell you how great of a job did that defense do last week, Chris?
It was incredible. So Julio only gets one on first down. So once again, out of the pistol at everyone. It's now Julio back up into the middle of the D, and not much happening again, maybe two. So third and 7 coming up for the Vikings as a whole host of Bulldogs right there in the middle of the line to keep that to another short game.
Yeah, you know, Coeur d'Alene coming off in that big loss here to Lehigh out of Utah. Only 85 yards of total offense. I know Sean Amos really wants to get this running game going here tonight. And the two first carries really only netting 3 yards here for the Vikings.
So third down and 7. And decision-making on the quarterback was the one thing that the Bulldog, some of the supporters I've talked to seem to think might be an issue for them. There's a pass that's thrown wide open on the far side. Nice job by Bankson to roll out, and he's got a first down and more, but then a flag down on the near side. Big gain and wide open into the secondary. Let's see what this flag is about.
Yeah, again, Barlow just giving, you know, he's getting his second start here, and, you know, just giving a little bit too much room out there to the outside as he plays off that receiver 10 yards. He didn't respond on that break, but fortunately for the Bulldogs, this penalty goes against the Vikings.
So they'll mark it back 5 and make it now third down and 12 back to the 33-yard line. Just underway here, Vikings first possession on North Idaho's radio, Rock 103 and KSPT, KBFI, 97.1 FM. You can get us online, take us anywhere you go on either Rock 103 FM or NorthIdahoRadio.com. So you got all kinds of options. Tight formation with one receiver wide right and left. and Bakeson back to pass. Looking down the middle, throws the screen, and we've seen this movie before. A hurdle for a first down, and then out of bounds with the catch, and that is going to be big number 84, Cameron Cope. Well, Jay talked about that. That's a giant target to find.
Yeah, he's a big kid, Chris. And again, you know, Bulldogs had the Vikings just exactly where he wanted, third down and long. And they're able to sneak that tight end across the formation underneath. And they get a nice release from that offensive line downfield block and allows him to pick up, you know, 13 on that third down and 12.
So first down, ball at the 48-yard line. Bankston claps his hands, looks over to the sidelines. Two wides, right and left, one back next to Bankston. He drops straight back looking to pass. Throws it out in the flat. It's another catch and a 9-yard gain. Tackled immediately there for the Bulldogs by Jack Zimmerman. But it's going to be second and short, and the ball in Bulldog territory for the Vikings.
Boy, was that Cope again there?
You
know, they're going to look his way. And you know, Jack's in a great spot there, about 8 yards back, but he's got to react to that out pattern a little quickly. He allows Cope to make that break wide open, easy patch and run, catch and run there, make it second down and short here for the Vikings.
Yeah, it's almost like a cutter in basketball. If you just let that guy run in front of you, he's going to catch it. Back to pass again. Bankston looking. It's caught this time into the Bulldogs secondary. Still on his feet and down to the 30-yard line. The receiver for the Vikings this time looks like number 3, Wyatt Potter. And the Vikings may have had offensive troubles last week, but through the air, they're getting it done right now.
Yeah, again, the Vikings or the Bulldogs secondary just really giving a lot of respect here to the receivers so far, really playing off, and it's really just a just a little pitch and catch right so far, and they're picking up first downs.
So ball at the Bulldog 30, first and 10, 9:20 left here, first quarter on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103. This time Bankston keeps it, cuts back, is going to get a nice gain of about 5 or 6 down to about the Bulldog 24. Didn't look pretty, but pretty effective.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Bankston's one of those guys who's going to beat you with his feet, Chris, but a nice ball fake there that Julia fools Joseph Hughes to the outside, and he gives up containment. He's able to pick up 6 yards and a big first down play here for the Vikings.
So second and 4, ball inside the Bulldog 25 at about the 24. Bankston back, throws it to Gili out of the backfield. It puts a nice move on a Bulldog. Another great move. He's inside the 10. He's inside the 5. He is into the end zone, off the screen pass. Gunnar Julio from Bankston. And, Jay, that's something we saw a lot of last year, two very similar results.
Boy, again, just doing a great job against the defense of the Bulldogs throw out there. And, you know, all they did is release Cope up to that outside of the right, and he seals that linebacker who's got the responsibility of Julio coming out of the backfield, and that allows Julio to get to the edge and then go one-on-one. And he's an exceptional athlete, Chris, and he makes two guys miss and gets into the end zone.
Vikings lined up as if they're going to go for two. And then we've got a flag down. So we'll see what's happening here. The flag is going to be 4 as the officials talk it over. Vikings lined up in that. We've got a false start against the Vikings. Lined up in that, you know, we've got everybody off to the right, and the people in the middle now, they're going to disdain the two-point conversion, send the kick team out, and just do it the regular old-fashioned way, apparently.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, again, that's something the Bulldogs probably didn't get much film on for the Vikings last week, because they only put one touchdown on the board against, you know, that was late in the game on an interception return. So, yeah, lucky for the Bulldogs, that was a procedure there, and they kicked the extra point instead.
Yeah, Bankston knocks it through. It's 7-0 in favor of the Vikings. Bulldogs get the football for the first time after this on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
As you head out to enjoy this summer weather, stop by the Dairy Depot and stock up on snacks, beer, pop, and great hot food to go. Try the new chicken wrap and the new delivery service. On the Dover Highway, the Dairy Depot.
Become an employee owner. Increased wages at Lighthouse Foods. Starting pay is $17 to $20 an hour. Join our weekly job fair every Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at the Ella facility. Because Lighthouse is 100% employee owned, we offer generous benefits and competitive shift premiums. Don't miss this opportunity to join the Lighthouse family and start your future today. For more information, please visit our website, lighthousefoods.com/careers, or call 208-920-2877 for more information.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Taco Tuesday is back. Check out Jalapeno's dine-in only special. $3 crispy beef or chicken tacos, $4 Mexican drafts, $6 12-ounce Hornitos margaritas, and $8 for a 16-ounce. Every Monday is Margarita Monday. Order a 12-ounce margarita and get an upgrade to a 16-ounce at no extra charge. Jalapeno's is open Friday through Tuesday and closed Wednesday and Thursday. Great for takeout. Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant.
Ethan Johnson in to kick it away as we are just off and rolling here with this Bulldogs first possession. Looks like it's going to be taken at about the 5 by, I believe that's Dunkel who gets it. And he's going to get out to the 20, and that's about where he'll get knocked down and the Bulldogs will take it over. So Lane Dunkel on the return. Bulldog offense on the field for the first time. And, well, Jay, last week it was the Parker Pettit and Garrett Cox show. You think we'll see the ball spread around maybe a little bit more for the Bulldogs to have to be successful tonight?
I think it's the formula, right? I mean, you've got a dual-threat quarterback, and that's why he's one of the best in the state, and Parker Pettit. And hey, your bell cow is Garrett Cox, so you're going to probably see a lot of work, but you'd like to see them spread it around a little bit better job on the passing game.
So fake, they hand it off the middle to Cox. Cox picks his way forward. Little low on the snap, but Parker Pettit able to field it and hand it off at about 2 yards for the first down run there for Garrett Cox.
Yeah, Garrett looked a little gun-shy. He had a nice little seam off to the left side, Chris. You just didn't see it until that hole closed up, but he had a nice little seam to the left side. Good job blocking there by Darrell and Laybourne off that left side, but he just didn't see it. And but, hey, still positive gain. Now you're on first down, first and second and seven here.
So second down, Bulldogs get three. Another handoff up the middle. This one stoned. No gain, so third down coming. Bulldogs try the center of the line, and that was swallowed up quickly.
Swallowed up quickly. Was that wing tee they came in there? And
they didn't actually come into the wing tee. They just brought an extra guy into the backfield.
Third down and seven.
Yeah, this is where the Bulldogs want to avoid. They want to avoid these third and longs.
Pass out into the flat is dropped. Just a little bit out in front of Max Frank. So Bulldogs go three and out. So sort of the opposite of what we saw last Friday night, Jay, as the Bulldogs misfire on their first possession and now going to have to put it back to Coeur d'Alene. Hopefully the defense has had a little bit of time to get something figured out.
Yeah, just, again, a nice little quick little out there to Max Frank. He gets his hands on it. The ball's a little thrown wide, but still, I think a play that Max Frank could have made there, and that would have been a big play. He would have got to the sideline, and it would have been a first down for the Bulldogs. First punt.
So the snap is back. The kick is up. It's insanely high. It takes a bounce at the 40. Then it's fielded at the 33-yard line off to the far side. Pretty good return back to about the 46. And so once again, doing the punting duties, Lass Kuhn. And, boy, he put some air under that one.
Boy, nice punt. Nice and high and loud. Looked like the return number 30 was there to make a play, but the he kind of got lost out there. It was Dakota Wilson, and looked, just stayed to his blocker instead of going to that return guy. You know, always find the return guy on the punt. That's where the ball's going. He's going to be near the ball. And he just goes to the blocker and then allows the return guy to pick it up and pick up about 8 yards on that return.
I think Mr. Albertson is instructing him that right now as we speak. So the Vikings back on the field for their second possession as Bankston has two wides on either side. Rolling out, fakes the pitch, keeps it, gets maybe one. So the Viking runs have been 1, 2, 6, 1. Got to figure out a way to stop that passing game.
Absolutely. Good job again on that option play to the left side, the short side of the field. And again, set up by Garrett Cox, who's he plays a lot of football. But that time he's able to get out there and just force Bankston to keep that football and allow the rest of the Bulldogs to come over and make the tackle.
So second and 10, they call it a no gain. Fake handoff. There's a pass down the seam. Good for 12, 13 yards. Just a quick in. Ball's out. Catch is made. Looks like it was number 32, Sam Entsi getting the catch on that one. It's another first down through the air for the Vikings.
Yeah, pretty simple. One step and throw it out there. And, you know, if you're going to shade him to the outside, you know, that allows that receiver just to make that make the decision. Hey, I got the in on this quick, right? I'm going to take it. And a big play of 8 yards and a first down for the Vikings.
So first down on the gain. Ball to the Bulldog 43-yard line. Bankston puts man in motion, puts three wides to the near side. Now throws it out, and it's dropped. Could have been about an 8-yard gain, but it's second and 10 as the ball was right on time and right on target for the receiver on the far side. And second down coming up.
Yeah, timing route to one-on-one out there. The Bulldogs showing man here, and that's McCorkle, you know, the returner for the Bulldogs, and they went after him two times in a row. And that's just a timing route, little quick hitch pattern, and the ball thrown right where it needed to be, but the receiver unable to really trace that ball and make that catch.
So second down and 10. Bankston back looking, trying to find someone, throws it across his body. It's caught. Nice play. Pretty good coverage that time. The receiver was Tanner Langley. It's going to be third and short for the Vikings. And just got to get to the quarterback a little bit sooner on that one, Jay.
Yeah, again, a little bit of pressure, but not much. Is that the offensive line for the Vikings allowing Bankston to kind of get to the right, kind of roll out of some a little bit of pressure. But, boy, what a gutsy throw to throw across his body over a well-defended receiver. Good play there. Good tackle by Zimmerman.
So third down short. Vikings all staring at the sidelines for the final signs. 5:32 left here in this first quarter. Vikings on the march once again, already leading at 7-2-0 on North Idaho's radio. And there's a handoff, and it's a shot up the middle and stoned. Nice play on D for the Bulldogs by Wes Benefield. So fourth down coming up.
Yeah, great job right there. And again, Wes just, you know, really falling in that line of tag. It's just a smart play there. A good defensive call by Coach Knowles, and he's able to shoot that gap and read that play and make a nice tackle here on Julio.
Actually, that was Rob Collier that time who got the carry, number 41, who remains in there on this down. So fourth down and four. See if the Bulldogs, who had some pretty good success on fourth down on defense last week, can replicate that tonight. Man in motion near side. Bankston rolling, looking, going deep, looking for all of it. It is dropped in the end zone.
Good job there by Barlow.
Yeah, great defense running stride for side. So the Bulldogs get the stop on defense and turn it over with the Vikings leading 7-0. And this scoring update brought to you by Sun Rental, a proud supporter of the Bulldogs since 1979. They rent everything under the sun.
Boy, great job there by Barlow. Couldn't get put on that island, Chris, as they show a little motion to his side, but they just released the receiver down on a fly pattern. The ball pretty well thrown, but Barlow doesn't. He times it perfectly, gets his hands in there just in time to keep it away from that receiver, from him crowning it. But the ball was right in his hip pocket, yep, but unable to hold on, and the Bulldogs get a break there and get great field position on it.
Yeah, it was
series.
A really nice throw, and Barlow basically just fought hard enough to keep the receiver from coming up with the catch. Okay, Bulldogs come out this time wing T style, and they hand it off up the middle, and it's Cox going for about 6 or 7, maybe 8 before he's done, out across the 40 to the 43. So the Bulldogs pull off the chicanery there and figure out a different way to hand it to Garrett Cox, and he gets 8.
Yeah, good job again, just in that bunch set, that wing T, and a good job there by that offensive front, getting some push and letting Garrett Cox do the rest. Nice first down play there.
So second down and 2, Bulldogs looking to get their first down of the game, and they're going to have it as Garrett Cox runs through a tackle across the 50, knocked down at the 49. So that's another gain of about 7, and the Bulldogs are in Viking territory.
Yeah, again, the Bulldogs, they're just really lining up in that. You got the tight end set, Vandenberg to the left side, and just power football, and a good job on that right side behind Austin Smith and Chapman, and Garrett Cox gets free for a nice gain and a first down for the Bulldogs.
So this time out of the Bulldogs standard set, 5 wides, Vikings jump, should give the Bulldogs 5 free ones. So with the encroachment, the Bulldogs will be facing 1st and 5 now down to the 44-yard line of Coeur d'Alene. Looking for the equalizer here early in this contest. 3:45 left, first quarter here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio. Game 2 Bulldog football, what an exciting start to the season we've had so far. And Pettit now standing alone in the backfield on first and five. Vikings, three-man rush, almost jump again. Pettit throws the screen pass to Vandenberg, who cuts inside, gets a first down. Nice catch by Ari to go up and catch a ball that was a little high, and he weaves his way forward, and the Bulldogs have a first down.
Yeah, good job right there, just Parker Pettit. Give him something he can catch, first of all, but like to get that ball a little bit quicker and allow Vandenberg hit that hole quicker. But, hey, I tell you what, a good job of blocking on the outside by the left tackle there, Laybourne, allows Ari to pick his way and pick up another first down for the Bulldogs.
So the Bulldogs are inside the 40 now, working their way down or up towards the northern end zone, whichever you like, on this beautiful artificial turf. Pettit fakes the pass, now runs. He gets a block. He's at the 40. He's at the 30. He's inside the 26-yard line, and that's where they're going to mark him. So
got a flag on the play.
We do have a flag right about the line of scrimmage.
Usually holding.
Usually 9 times out of 10, maybe 99 times out of 100 in that spot, going to be a hold. And the way the Bulldogs are walking back, it will be.
Yeah, you know, that's what the one thing the Bulldogs can afford to do. They did a pretty good job last week of really containing the penalty, especially on these big plays. That was a great job right there by Pettit. He looks for his receiver. It's taken away on the outside to Max Frank. He ends up keeping it, goes up the field. But you cannot afford to go back 10 on plays like that. Let Parker use his feet. He's usually going to make the first guy miss. So, yeah, a big mistake there by that offensive line.
Yeah, no reason to hold there when the guy shifts to the outside. Parker's proven that he's going to be able to figure out a way to get that first guy to come up with air most of the time. So first and 20, Bulldogs all the way back to midfield. Pettit fakes the handoff, keeps it. Gets to the outside at the 45. Make it the 48, and he gets knocked down there. So good pursuit from the inside there by the Vikings.
Yeah, again, that's just speed. You know, the Vikings line up. They really have three guys that to the outside on both sides of the field with just that one safety in the middle, Chris. And really, it's really important to be able to get out there and do your downfield blocking. But they didn't do a very good job to the outside, and that allowed a couple of Vikings to come in there and make a nice tackle on the elusive Parker Pettit.
So second down and 18 with 2 minutes left in this first quarter. Bulldogs with the football, down 7. Glad you're along with us tonight. Bulldogs throw the screen to Cox, and it's set up nicely. He's at the 40-yard line. He's still on his feet. He dives forward, gets back to the original line of scrimmage, so it's going to be 3rd and 10.
Yeah, the young sophomore Hindenburg trying to do a job blocking, but he just lets his guy go, and that was set up for a big play if he can hold on to that block, but it allows the Viking come up and gets off it and stops a potential big play there by Garrett Cox on that screen play.
So they mark him at the 39, and so it's 3rd and 11 for the Bulldogs, who if they get a good portion of this would probably be thinking about two downs. Pettit back looking, not thinking about two. He wants one. But his pass is high and wide, trying to get it to Max Frank. So 4th down and 11. And one would imagine the Bulldogs would be content at this down and distance to try and pin the Vikings deep with the old Parker Pettit pooch kick.
Absolutely, yeah. That just didn't happen there. That was pretty well covered to the outside there by the Vikings. And Parker had decent time to sit back there and eye his receiver. But two guys in coverage on that possession.
So 4th and 11, Bulldogs standard formation, two wides each side. Cox behind Pettit. Pettit drops, looking. They're going for it. He's hit.
That's a fumble.
They say it's incomplete. Pettit was hit as he was trying to throw, so whatever they were doing gave up the ghost there pretty quickly. And just like that, the Bulldogs now have their own 4th down stop on offense, and the Vikings will get it at their own 39.
Yeah, Cameron Cope off that left end, Chris, you're going to hear his name. He lines up to the tight end position and that left defensive end on that strong side, and he just beats our left tackle around the end. I believe that's Chapman, and Parker really didn't have a chance as he was looking to go deep on that throw.
So the Bulldogs trying for the home run and end up with the punt essentially as the ball squirted out of Pettit's hands as he was trying to get rid of it. So the Vikings take over.
Really?
Just a minute left here in this first quarter.
We'd like to see them move Parker out of that backfield a little bit more often, kind of get away from that pressure that the poor Vikings are going to get out of Cope and Julio.
So on first down, Vikings, four wides, one back. They throw it in the flat. It's caught. McCorkle right there immediately for the tackle. That's going to be six. It's going to be second down and four, as making the catch that time was Colton Farrar for the Vikings.
Yeah, I know Colton Farrar from our basketball days, an athletic kid, about 6'1". He does a great job, just a five-yard hitch, and McCorkle gives him the respect, and Bankston does a great job just getting out to him.
So Vikings now still with number 41, Rob Collier, in the backfield. Spelling the starter, Julio. Fake to Julio, and then it's knocked down by Cox. And the ball is going to be incomplete. It's going to be third and five. Trying to throw it out into the flat to one of the to the slot guy, and Cox just knocked it out of the sky.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulldogs, to give them, you know, a lot of respect out there. Zimmerman's playing about 10 yards off that slot receiver. They're trying to get there. But what's important is those defensive linemen get their hands up in those passing lanes, get them active, get off the defender when you see the quarterback bring his arm back. And Garrett Cox does that, and a great play there by the senior.
All right, so third down and coming, third and five. So how long do you give them these 5, 6, 7, 8 yard cushions while they're just throwing it in front of you every time?
Yeah, that's what they want. They want you to squeeze it up, and then they'll go deep on you.
Back to pass again. They throw it into the seam. It's caught. It's going to be a first down across the 45. And this one is going to go once again to Farrar. And just a quick in and a simple throw and catch and an easy first down.
Boy, yeah, and again, just defensive lineman. If you're not going to get that rush, get your hands in those passing. That ball's coming out low. He's kind of got that sidearm throw
there.
He's
yep.
just kind of just threading it through that line of scrimmage. So an opportunity for the Bulldogs to get out the field. But, you know, McCorkle here's got to come up there and understand the situation. You see that release. You've got to come in there and take that quick slant away.
First quarter in the books. Vikings lead at 7-0. We'll be back here on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103 after this.
Sandpoint Superdrug is conveniently open 7 days a week with all the essentials you need. Stop by their pharmacy, immune support area, nutrition center, or shop for household and hardware items. You can always call ahead to order your prescriptions online. They have in-store pickup, free in-town delivery, and curbside pickup. In their expanded hardware department, you'll find the things that you need for all of your home projects. Ask about their contractor discounts. Sandpoint Superdrug is here to help. Located on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
All right, second quarter just about ready to get underway. Chris Chatburn, Jay Vandenberg, and our Statman extraordinaire Barry Burke along with you tonight bringing you Bulldog football. It's first and 10 for the Vikings, who have the ball at the 45. There's a handoff up the middle, and it goes nowhere. Nice play for the Bulldogs. Number 44 for Sandpoint, Joseph Hughes, right there to snuff out the run.
Boy, great tackle there by Joseph Hughes. Again, looks like it was pretty well blocked on that right side, Chris, but Hughes, the linebacker there, he comes up and just makes a nice play, a nice break on the running back and drops it for half a yard.
So it's still Collier in there at running back, who had that very short gain on first. Low snap. They pitch it to Collier again, and again, he's got nothing happening. Helmets flying. And we've got a little John going on between one of the Bulldogs and one of the Vikings. It's going to be third down and long now.
You don't want Wes Benefield's helmet flying off here on this third down. He's the leader of this defense, and this is the last place you want this. But it looks like, you know, coach is yelling at him and saying, hey, guy got a helmet on my face mask and ripped it off. So, yeah, tough to see in that scrum there, but a great play right again by the Bulldogs. A low snap, and they're able to rally to that little toss to the right side.
So, yeah, Banks did a nice job of fielding the grounder back to him. So third and eight, Bulldog defense. See if they can get a stop here. This time the snap is high, and Bankston has to corral it. He's got a man open, though. It's caught in the secondary down inside the 10. the 15 down to about the 14-yard line. They'll mark him officially at the 12. Great throw there that time by Bengston, and wide open in between two Bulldogs.
Yeah, you know, Barlow just gets beat on that play there as they bunched on the left side. He works his way down the middle of the field and then makes a break to the outside, little flag pattern. And, you know, the safety Steiger just ain't able to get over the top, but he was wide open, and a great throw there by Banks. And just had to really just throw it out there and let him go make the catch.
Yeah, Isaiah Griffin on the catch. So the Vikings now inside the Bulldog 20 after that third and long conversion. And this is kind of what we saw a lot of last year, Jay, was – third down was really the Bulldogs' bugaboo. The Vikings pretty much got what they wanted on that down. There's a run up the middle. Bulldogs have it snuffed out, and it's a loss back to the 16-yard line. Then a flag flies.
You can cheer. That is just crazy. He gets up. He didn't taunt him. He was walking away, and they're going to throw a unsportsmanlike there on West. Just the excitement of the game. He made a nice tackle on the play, and this is getting a little it's a little touchy, I believe.
Yeah, the last thing the Bulldogs need is to gift the Vikings another first down inside. And we are going to have an unsportsmanlike against the Sandpoint Bulldogs. So an automatic first down and a mark off half the distance. Going to make it first and goal at about the 8-yard line.
Well, you know, a lot of refs don't come from Bonner County either, Chris. Just kidding.
Hey, here. You're preaching to the choir on that one. I'm in full and complete agreement with you there. The one thing we will say, we do not know what was said at the time.
Correct.
Because other than that, it had to be something that was said, because he didn't taunt, he didn't stand over, he didn't do anything but run away and clap.
Just make a football play, get up and get back at it. Let's go.
So first and actually they don't give them an automatic first. They call it – they've got it as a third down, which doesn't seem to make any sense. But there's a screen pass for a touchdown nonetheless. I believe that one went to the running back Collier again. And that's going to make it 13-0 in favor of the Vikings.
Yeah, identify what's going on. Defensive front. Feel like they got the quarterback. That should tell you right there, hey, they're running a screenplay. They're letting you come, drawing you out, and then they got all the blockers down in front. Pretty easy touchdown here for the Vikings to go up here 13-0.
So the Vikings take the two-score lead, now come in, and they're going to put up the extra point. Quarterback Braden Bengston, the kicker. The kick is up, and it is through the uprights. It is now 14-0 in favor of the Vikings, and we've got some conversation going on in the
yeah, it looks
field.
Like the Vikings are going to now get the same taunting call as the excitement of the game, and the taunting begins here,
yeah,
between
boy.
These two old rivals.
Well, first time in a decade that the Vikings have bothered to make the arduous drive up 95 all the way from Coeur d'Alene to Sandpoint. So they're fired up about it. So they'll have to kick it a little deeper. And with the score 14-0, this scoring update is brought to you by Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant. Jalapeno's for the finest Mexican food on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint, now with a convenient pickup window. And, Jay, the Bulldog offense needs to get it untracked here as they get the football back, which they should get in pretty decent field position.
Yeah, you know, the Bulldogs had something going there on their last drive, but that really big holding call negated a nice run there by Pettit, kind of stalled their momentum, putting them in a first down and 20. And you know, it's hard to overcome those kind of mistakes. And yeah, the Bulldogs got to clean it up. You know, they've offensively they got to do a little bit better job. You got to participate on every play. You've got to compete. And you know, I just think sometimes, you know, we had a couple plays where guys just didn't compete and allowed the Vikings to come and make big plays.
So the Bulldogs have McCorkle and Dunkel back to receive the kick, which will come forth from the 25-yard line.
Their guy's got a big foot too, though.
Yeah, Bankson's off to a hot start. He was 8-11 at one point. I think he's added to those numbers. He's over 100 yards so far here in that just barely into the second quarter. So Bankson, hey, the Vikings not able to run the football. What are they going to do? They're going to just really a lot of quick things, basically runs from the quarterback's arm. And
yep.
And so far, able to pick apart this defense. 10 of 13, 130.
And the kick's going to come down. It's going to be taken by McCorkle at about the 20. He then keeps it, fakes the handoff, and he runs out to the 30. And for some reason, there's a whole host of Vikings there to meet him. Somebody missed some blocking. And it's going to be first down for the Bulldogs, and they'll start at about their 30-yard line.
Yeah, you know, trying to set the wedge up to the right side. And, you know, just that fake took a little bit more time for McCorkle to get to that edge. And just no blockers there for him. And the Vikings do a good job. The Bulldogs start here at the 33-yard line with decent field position. But let's see what the Bulldogs and Theobar come out here with here in this their third drive.
So the Bulldogs now come out with their what you would call their normal formation. They've got Frank and Vandenberg on the near side split out. And Cox in the backfield. Two more wides on the far side for the Bulldogs. Running the option, they get it to Cox, who drives forward, gets out to about the 36. Looks like on the far side for the Bulldogs, it's Eli Allshouse and Nathan Robert as the other two wide receivers. So the Bulldogs get three on first, so second and seven coming up.
Yeah, nice little option play that time. And pretty well defended there by the Vikings, but nice to see Garrett Cox get something out of that play.
So second down, Pettit. Fakes the handoff, keeps it, heads up the middle. He's tackled immediately, might get a yard.
Cameron Cope.
Cameron Cope.
Not fooled.
No. I'm sure it was drilled into the defensive players all week long by their coaches. Number nine likes to run, and he's good at it. So we got to keep a track of him. So third down and seven again for the Bulldogs. On this third down play, they fake the handoff, and Pettit's going to keep it. He breaks a tackle, but he's still going to come up shy of the first down. It's going to be fourth and one, and then a flag's going to fly in late.
Looks like we got a face mask and a taunt or something there. Yeah. That'll give the Bulldogs a first down here.
Well, a much-needed first down for the Bulldogs. Three runs wasn't going to get it done. They came up a yard short.
Flag came in way late.
Sure did, and we've got a unsportsmanlike conduct against the Vikings. So more taunting. What's good for the Bulldog is apparently good for the Viking in the taunting realm. And, in fact, the Vikings taunted a 2-1 clip based on our early prognostications here. And the Bulldogs now have it down to the 43-yard line.
Yeah, huge break for the Bulldogs. As the Bulldogs, you know, a nice job right there by Parker Pettit. You know, decent blocking downfield as he had that lead blocker in Vandenberg, but was going to be a couple yards short. But, boy, get a break here by the Viking defense.
See if the Bulldogs can take advantage. Pettit with five wides now. Cox split into the slot on the near side right next to Max Frank. Pettit just takes it and heads right up the middle. Spins off a tackle, breaks into the secondary, still on his feet. He's going to be close to a first down. I think he's got it. Give him 10, and the Bulldogs move the chains, and a nice run by Parker Pettit.
Yeah, just give him that empty backfield. They show pass, but there's nothing happening there with the pass. It was a run the whole way, Chris, and he's able to pick and weave his way through and pick up 9 yards and get a second short here for the Bulldogs.
Well, they don't give him the first down. You're right. They mark him a yard short. 7:40 left till halftime. Columbia Bank halftime show on the way. Bulldogs looking to cut into this two-score deficit that they face. Pettit looking, throwing back across. It's another screen for Vandenberg. He's going to get down to the 30, so that's going to be a gain of about four. That's enough for a first down. Boy, that's a dangerous play, Jay.
Boy, I tell you what, you know, just kind of shows a little look to the left. It freezes those the defenders a little bit, and then the Vandenberg works his way back to Parker, and a good job of the blockers getting out front. But boy,
that ball's in the air a long time.
Long time, but Vandenberg comes back to the ball, and he's able to pick up a big first down for the Bulldogs.
So first and 10, Sandpoint at the Coeur d'Alene 30. Looking to complete this drive. They throw it, hand it up to Cox up the middle. He's got about four, almost five, between the 24 and 25. So second down and six coming up.
I just love the straight dive there for positive yardage. That offensive front does a good job right behind Ben Stockton, our center, and it looked like Carson Laybourne, our right guard. Or make that actually is Mike Chapman, our right guard.
So second down coming along. Beautiful evening. Glad you're along with us here on North Idaho's radio on Rock 103. It's a Bulldog football 2021. Bulldogs line up tight and hand it off to Cox up the middle. This one not so successful. Gets about one. So we've got another third and five. That one you'd call the half wing tee. Like they got everyone tight, but they still have wide receivers out way on the outside. They've got the wing backs. They've got the running back. They've got Pettit. But they're not really going for the full wing on that one. Now, Bulldogs on third down. Definitely four down territory here for the Bulldogs. Fake handoff. Now on the end around, there's a miscommunication.
Uh-oh.
The Bulldogs drop it, and it's picked up, and it's going to be run back for a touchdown by the Vikings. We have an injured Bulldog down on the field. Bulldogs tried the trickeration, handing it off to Eli Allshaus. He dropped it and went down, I believe, on his shoulder. And just like that, the Bulldogs give up six on offense, and it's 20-0 in favor of the Vikings. So disaster strikes the Bulldogs.
Yeah, just, you know, something that just hasn't worked with the young sophomore Allshaus. Just, you know, he sees a Viking kind of flash here. Doesn't, the ball hits him right where it needs
yep.
to, but the ball just kind of bounds up in the air like he was surprised to almost get it. And, boy. You know those. You know what do you say? Hey, you know one of the big keys. You can't lose the turnover battle, and that was a big one. You know, when you're able to turn a turnover on defense into a defensive touchdown, that's a tough spot for the. It's a tough play against for the Bulldogs.
So the Bulldogs now. Will get the football back after the extra point as Allshaus, who's. Definitely got an elbow, wrist, or shoulder situation working after he fell down awkwardly trying to regain the football that he dropped. Extra point is up, and it is good. And with that score, 21-0, Coeur d'Alene. We'll be back on KSPT, North Idaho's radio, and Rock 103.
When you hear a commercial from Mountain West Bank, we're usually talking about providing you a service like totally free checking. Well, this commercial is about totally free tackling, totally free passing, and totally free touchdowns. That's because we sponsor broadcasts of North Idaho High School football so you can listen to games totally free. Of course, there are a few things we hope these games are totally free of. Penalties, fouls, injuries, stuff like that. Mountain West Bank, FDIC. Member FDIC.
September is an exciting month for the Pondere Winery. It marks the beginning of a new vintage of handcrafted wines made right here in Sandpoint by our dedicated crew. September is also Wine Club month, so keep a lookout for your Wine Club shipment or stop by the tasting room at 301 Cedar to pick up your 2019 Primitivo and Cabernet Franc. Members enjoy Wine Club pricing all month long on these two beautiful wines. We will continue to offer live music on Friday and Saturday nights, so check out our Facebook page or our website at powine.com for the latest news. It's harvest time, so come celebrate with us at the Pondere Winery.
All right, Coeur d'Alene kicking it off one more time to the Bulldogs. McCorkle and Dunkel back deep. This one's going to come to Dunkel, who's going to hand it off on the end around to McCorkle. He gets out to the 20. He breaks a tackle. He breaks through. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. And he's knocked down at about the 42. So nice run there by Luke McCorkle after taking the handoff from Dunkel. And the Bulldogs get a little something to cheer about, which has been few and far between so far, Jay.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great job right there. But a good job by that the blocking on the sides. Get on a man. Maintain one man. Get one guy. If you can get one guy, it allows your return guy to find some space. And a really good job blocking out there by the Bulldogs that outside.
So here we go on first down, Bulldogs. Four wides, one back. Hand off Cox, big hole. He gets to the outside. He stumbles at the 50. He's still on his feet. He's down to the 46-yard line. That's a gain of 11. That is a Bulldog first down. And with the Vikings leading at 21-0, this scoring update brought to you by Interstate Concrete, a proud sponsor of Bulldog football for more than 30 years.
Boy, Vandenberg sets the edge there, does a great job on the inside. He just really takes up a couple would-be tacklers and allows Cox all that space to that outside.
Another handoff to Cox, this time trying to get to the outside on the other side, and he's going to cut back against the grain. Good, nice run there, 7 yards for the Bulldogs. And the offensive line got a talking to after that last series by Coach Yarno. They seem to have come out with some fire here on the first couple of the plays on this possession.
You give the ball to your guys, right? And here Theo Barr, he's given to his workhorse, Garrett Cox. And the Bulldogs have been able to run the football so far here in the first half.
Another handoff to Cox up the middle. Cox breaks into the secondary, past the 30, down to the 26-yard line. That's going to be another 8 yards or so. And the Bulldogs continue this march. And the smartest-looking Bulldog possession we've seen tonight.
Absolutely. The offensive line doing a good job up front, really pushing the defensive line for the Vikings backwards and to get some great field downfield blocking by the receivers.
So, first down, Bulldogs, Pettit looking, throwing. He's got a man, but the pass is inside, and Frank can't come up with the catch, so second and 10 coming up.
Yeah, he's got to throw it. He kind of just kind of, you know, he's got that strong arm. Sometimes he feels like he just overthrows the ball. Sometimes that time he let up on it and allows the ball to fall in. You know, and again, Frank had him open, but that ball just thrown in behind him because he just didn't rear up and let it fly.
So second and 10, Pettit fakes the handoff, runs up the middle, finds a hole, gets away, gets down to the 20-yard line. They'll mark him at the 21, so that's a gain of about 7. Third and 3 coming up for the Bulldogs, who are looking to get on the board.
Absolutely. Hey, the Bulldogs were up on Post Falls 21-0, and, you know, Post Falls is able to answer. Let's see if the Bulldogs can do that here against this Viking defense who've really haven't had a whole lot of resistance. Just the Bulldogs doing themselves haven't done themselves any favors.
So third down, and they say a very long 3, nearly 4. Pettit hands it to Cox. Cox has a first down. If he makes a cut inside, he drives. And probably going to get it down to the 21-yard line. Looked like if he cut back to the center, he could have run forever.
Right. He did that little hesitation and then decided, hey, I'm going to run north and south. And he got south just for enough for a Bulldog first down. A big third down and 4 for the Bulldogs there.
So the Bulldogs now down to the 21-yard line with 3 minutes and 38 seconds remaining in this first half. Good news for the Bulldogs, Jay. If they score here and are able to figure out a way to keep the Vikings out of the end zone, they will get the ball at the start of the third quarter so they can stack a couple of possessions together. And, you know, last week's win was good. You know, you dominated Post Falls, great. Offensively tonight, the running games are pretty good. I will say this based on this now almost 6 quarters of action. The Bulldogs are going to have to figure out a way to get something through the air.
Because
teams are going to start really stacking them up and not allowing the run if this continues. I mean, even though we dominated last week, didn't get a lot out of the passing game. So far tonight, the passing game has been virtually nil. And, you know, even that end around, you know, it's 3rd and 4. You know, you should be able to drop back and get 4 yards on a pass play.
You kind of look at what the Vikings are doing out there. They're spreading them out, and they're able to get those quick hitters for first downs at 4 or 5 yards. And the Bulldogs, again, through 2 weeks or 6 quarters, like you said, really struggling to get that passing game going. You're right. I think he's 3 for 8 right now just for a 21 yards. So 2 of those coming to Vandenberg. So got some work to do here. Obviously, you're correct. You know, you got to be able to throw the football, be able to run the ball.
So here we go on first down, Bulldogs, after calling timeout. Get everything aligned the way they want. Lined up tight this time. Just one wide receiver wide. Everyone else between the hashes on first and 10. Another handoff to Cox, who breaks a tackle, but then a host of Vikings are there to bring him down after about a 3-yard gain.
Boy, it was there, too. Just he almost had that linebacker. Linebacker held on for dear life, able to spin him around and get some help. But that almost, those are the ones that you see Cox last week. He broke that 36-yard touchdown because that linebacker was there, and it was wide open to the left. Bulldogs really close to getting one there.
Second down, 7. Inside the 20 for the first time tonight for the Bulldogs. Another handoff to Cox. This one off the right side and a lot of action going on. And not really much, maybe a yard on that one. So third down coming up.
Yeah, you know, I think the Coeur d'Alene Vikings are a little more prepared, right? They've seen this last week. That, you know, Post Falls not prepared for this. And the Vikings here holding their ground, staying to their gaps. And when you're able to do that, there's really not a whole lot of places to run because everybody's kind of bunched up. You got 20 guys in this little, 8, 9-yard area there at the line of scrimmage.
So on second, on third down, Bulldogs now still at third and seven. Go to their five wide set. Parker Pettit is in the backfield all by himself. He takes the snap. He rolls. He looks. He throws the screen pass. It's caught. There's a nice move forward, and I think we're going to be close. A
couple yards short. Oh,
boy, about a yard short. Robert makes the catch and winds forward. So the Bulldogs are looking at fourth and one inside the 10-yard line at about the nine.
Well, yeah, fourth and a long, long one here for the Bulldogs. I think it's a real huge play here for the Bulldogs. They've got to be able to get this first down and get some points on the board here going into halftime.
So let's see what the Bulldogs do. They come right up under center. Pettit lining up tight. See if they just drive forward. No, there's a miscommunication in the backfield. They don't get there.
I don't know.
Pettit and Cox ran into each other. And so the Bulldogs turn it over on downs again. This time inside the Viking 20-yard line.
I just don't get to play. You know, the Bulldogs really picked up a bunch of yards with that formation with a single back set. And, again, going to that bunch and really have struggled. They haven't got anything. And for them to go to that bunch in this fourth down and short situation, I really, really like to spread them out, get some guys outside of the box, and let Parker Pettit or Garrett Cox make a play with their legs in some open field. Boy, a big miss there for the Bulldog O.
So 1:35 left till the Columbia Bank halftime show comes your way here on North Idaho's radio and Rock 103. And the Vikings with a minute 35. See what they do. Backed up inside their 15-yard line. Handoff. Noah Fake. It's a keeper and a wide open receiver who breaks it into the secondary. He gets out across the 35, across the 40. And this time they go to number 15, James Elliott. Looks like we got a flag in the backfield, and we're going to have some holding going on. So break for the Bulldogs because that really put the Vikings out from under the gun inside the 10. And now it looks like they're going to be marked half the distance and face first down again.
Boy, a big break there for the Bulldogs. Pretty well-executed player there. Just fake the handoff to the right, and he just rolls out to the left, finds a speedy receiver coming all the way across the field, wide open. The Bulldogs catch a break here.
Well, one thing's for sure, Jay. You know, after last week's win, this is great experience against a very tough opponent. And, you know, the youth and inexperience of the Bulldogs secondary is kind of showing itself here against this, very tough Coeur d'Alene Viking team. So second down now, 14. Ball back inside. About the 6-5 yard line, somewhere in there. Vikings getting the signals. Bulldog defense looking to get a stop and get it into the locker room, trying to regroup for the second half. Bulldogs are going to pick up two, and they're going to get the football with a minute 28 as the snap was a little strong, a little high, and sailed through the end zone. So Bulldogs on the board with a two-pointer, and now the free kick's going to get the Bulldogs a chance with a minute 28 to possibly, you know, get some momentum going into halftime. What a break for Sandpoint.
Boy, I wasn't thinking that at all, Chris, but that ball snapped really high. I mean, Banks didn't have a chance at all, but the Bulldogs get a big break here as able to put 2 points on the board. It's not seven like I was hoping, but, get on the board. Get rid of those jitters. Hey, we can do this, guys. I think the Bulldogs are just a couple plays away from really being in this game.
That's one of those ones, if you're a golfer, you're saying, hit the pin, because that thing was past. If it didn't hit Bankston, he wasn't catching that. I was almost like he wasn't even ready for it. It just went sailing over his head, and he's talking to his center. I was like, what was that?
Absolutely. See if the Bulldogs can't put together a nice return here.
So the Bulldogs, after the free kick, and if they can get any kind of return with a minute 28 right now showing on the clock, should have a chance to, matriculate down the field a little bit. And let's see if they can get Parker Pettit untracked a little bit from the aerial assault angle of things.
Yeah, most of the time they like to choose a punter here in this free situation, but they're going to kick it off here.
Kick it off their tee, which looks for all the world just like one of those cones you use when you're coaching soccer. Kick is a low liner, and this is a good one. It's going to be taken at the 20-yard line by Dunkel. Dunkel straight up the middle. He's at the 40. He's at the 45. So a nice job. Bulldogs will start it in pretty good field position with a minute 22 left till halftime. Coming up at halftime, we'll have the Jalapeno stat page, part of your Columbia Bank halftime show. No Bob Witte interview this week, but we will be sending it back to the studio for a cornucopia of interesting programming so the announcers can get a little bit of a break. So the Bulldogs now facing first and 10 at their own 46-yard line.
If you needed to throw the ball here, this is the time to be able to do it, right?
Yes. So far, the only thing they've been able to do is throw screens for completions. Pettit back looking. It's another screen, and then it's dropped. The Vikings say they have it, but that didn't seem like he had it long enough to have possession.
No, it should be incompletion.
It should be an incompletion. The officials are talking it over. He caught it and was hit immediately.
Yeah.
He never got a chance to turn around. That should be incomplete. And they had the screen set up, but the block was missed.
It's incomplete. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's good.
But, hey, I tell you what. These Bulldogs, they got to do a better job blocking on the outside. You just got your running back lit up because you don't block the play on that screen, and you allow that guy to get off you and then drill the running back. They got to do a better job.
And Cox, who was the drillee, a little shaken up, he comes off the field. And the guy who did a good job last week, Owen Wimmer, is in there at tailback at second down. Pettit back to pass, looking. He's being rushed. He gets away from the rush. He's going to run. He breaks a tackle. He's at the 50. He's still on his feet. He's down to about the 46. See if the Bulldogs call timeout with a minute six left as they come up just shy of the first down.
Hustled up.
Going to be a third down. Looks like they're going to let the clock run here, see if they get the first down before they try and stop it.
Max Franks got a hustle here.
So third and short. Under a minute now, Bulldogs. Pettit gets the snap. Hands it off to Wimmer. Wimmer's got a first down. He's got a little more. He's inside the 40. He's to the 36. Bulldogs call timeout with 40 seconds left. We'll keep it here with the score 21-2. Bulldogs looking to change that. And this scoring update brought to you by 7BTV, your authorized DISH retailer, locally owned and operated. Ready to help you, a proud sponsor of Bulldog Sports. Of course, tomorrow we've got on our AM outlets, North Idaho's radio, and 97.1 FM, Vandal football. Vandals will open their season with Simon Frazier. And if I'm not mistaken, Dennis Patchen is back. And they'll have the pregame at noon and the kickoff at 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, see, the Vandals are kind of picked to finish kind of in the middle of the road of the Big Sky. I think they had them at 8th. You know, with a losing record, 5-6, I believe, was the record. So, you know, the Vandals have really been limping along here,
yep,
you know, since their move down. And be really nice. And I think Paul Petrino's on the way to almost be the, you know, the leading, the most wins in Vandal history. But, I think he's also the leading, has the most losses, too.
Yeah.
But he's the longest tenured coach in Vandal history at this point in time. So, it's kind of interesting.
Yay, mediocrity.
Going through the changes and all that stuff, they've really given Paul Petrino some opportunities here.
So the Bulldogs now with a first down and 40 seconds left. One timeout left. Back to pass. Pettit looking, going deep, trying to find a man out there. It's Frank. He catches it, but I think he was out of bounds.
Dang it. Yep,
yeah. A beautiful throw by Pettit, and Frank just couldn't get both feet in or get one of his feet in. So it's going to be a second down.
Going against the Griffin, who's getting Division I offers at the cornerback. But Frank did a great job of getting by him. But, boy, it was out of bounds. Just unfortunate there. You know, Frank's got to try to find his way down that sideline. But an exceptional catch there by Frank, but all for naught.
Yeah, and a beautiful throw by Pettit just on the sideline. So second down and 10 with 32 seconds left. Pettit fakes a handoff, drops, looks, gets pressure, tries to throw, and he's snowed under. He's going to be sacked. Bulldogs will call another timeout with 24 seconds left. Trying to go deep again, and I don't know if any was open on the right side of the field, but on the left side, there was a lot of white around any red jerseys.
Yeah, not nowhere for Pettit to throw. He was looking and looking, and nobody came open. He was looking at Frank and Vandenberg's way. But, again, they got those two guys on the receivers, and they have one over top on both sides of the field. So it really makes tough. And that, and, you know, that defensive front really, you know, Pettit just ran out of time. They, you know, held them. The offensive line held them. But just couldn't keep them off Pettit long enough.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job of pushing the rush up past Pettit so he could step up into the pocket. But just nowhere to throw it. And with the clock waning down, I'm sure his thought process is, well, I don't really want to run if I don't have to. I'd like to get some yards through the air. So it's going to be third down now and 13 after the sack.
Yeah, just avoid a big play here. You know, if they can get a first down, you know.
Stop the clock.
Stop the clock, move the chains, and then give yourself a couple plays here to go into halftime.
It's one thing that, you know, we haven't seen a lot of out of this offense in the last year plus is that middle of the field, right? 10, 15 yards downfield. A lot of screens as Pettit runs out of a three tackles, but he's finally going to
be a better job blocking.
Got to be tackled. And, yeah, they're just rushing three, and they rushed all the way through. So 13 seconds left, and it's going to be fourth down. Clock rolls. See if the Vikings want to call a timeout as the clock is running down. Looks like they're going to be content to take a 21-2 lead into halftime. So there it is, first half of play. Vikings dominate. We'll be back in two with the Columbia Bank Halftime Show here on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
Come out and enjoy the taste and lake views at Ivano's Del Lago, located on the Sam Owen Peninsula on Lake Pendere. Our location provides the best sunsets on the lake. Ivano's Del Lago is open now for lunch and dinners, Wednesday through Sunday. Open at noon till 8:30 for the last seating. Make your reservations now. Daily specials by Skip and back by demand, coconut lime cocktail by Tim. Ivano's, a Sandpoint tradition for over 36 years. Call today, 208-264-0466.
It's wildfire season, and North Idaho has a lot to lose when wildfires happen. If you're a lifelong resident or new to the area and own 10 or more acres of timberland, this message should hit home. Idaho Forest Group knows that wildfires can destroy your forest land, your home, and your entire investment in the area in just minutes, unless you take steps now to minimize and prevent a catastrophe. Schedule an Idaho Forest Group forester to conduct a free site analysis on your property and suggest a forest management plan to help protect your investment. Creating a safe area around your home and having a solid forest management plan are all important. And if selective thinning is required, it could create extra income for your family. Whether you're a lifelong resident or new to the area, you need to protect your family and your forest land from wildfires. To schedule a free visit from an Idaho Forest Group forester, visit ifg.com.
Wherever you're headed, Columbia Bank has the people and resources to help you get there. Longtime experts, lifelong nice people, and real humans answering their phones. Columbia Bank is committed to providing all the services required to help build strong Northwest communities. Recently awarded the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with retail banking in the Northwest, Columbia Bank is also a proud supporter of local high school sports. Stop by any branch or check them out online at columbiabank.com.
This is the Columbia Bank Halftime Show, featuring a first half recap, including the jalapeno stat page. Now, back to the field.
And here we are at halftime. Bulldogs trailing at 21-2 as the Vikings, fresh off of getting spanked last week, really came with a lot of vim and vigor, and the Bulldogs didn't play terribly, Jay, but that botched third down handoff for a touchdown really set the Bulldogs behind the eight ball. This is your Columbia Bank Halftime Show, and it's time for the Jalapeno Stat Page for the finest Mexican food on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Now with a convenient pickup window as compiled by our stat man, Barry Burke. Jay, what do we have? And I have a feeling it's all going the Vikings' way.
You know, Chris, you would think that it's it'd be one-sided, but you know, the Bulldogs giving up field position twice, and then they got the defensive touchdown 21-0. So the Coeur d'Alene Vikings actually end up with only 136 yards of total offense. But the bulk of that coming the 10 of 13 by Banks, and 10 of 13 for 130 yards. The Bulldogs have done a great job of limiting their rushing yards is they have nine rushes for only a total of 6 yards.
Wow,
tonight.
That's
leading
good
the way is
defense.
Banks and two carries for 7 yards. But the Bulldogs really bottled up the running game for the Vikings, but really not able to find an answer for Banks and in that quick passing game by Banks, and he's been able to find a lot of open receivers, really just a lot of pitch and catch, and 10 to 13 is a pretty good stat for the first half.
Yeah, that's a high percentage, right? That's going to get it done most of the time.
Yeah, and I think he has two touchdown passes, so a good start here for the Banks and the senior quarterback. For the Bulldogs, he ended up with 116 yards of total offense. You know, Pettit off to a real slow start, 4 of 11 for 29 yards, and just not a whole lot of opportunities. The pass protection's really not been very good.
No.
That offensive front, really 2 weeks in a row, they've struggled to really allow Pettit to work his way downfield. The only thing open is, you know, a couple hitch patterns to Vandenberg. He has two receptions for 15 yards. And Garrett Cox, you know, again, we talk about, you know, fourth down and two, and you know, in that spread, Garrett Cox, 14 carries for 60 yards. Parker Pettit, 8 carries for 18 yards. And then Wimmer comes in, 1 carry for 9 yards to round out the 87 yards rushing for the Bulldogs in the first half.
So the Bulldogs will get the football when we start the third quarter of play. And hope you're enjoying Bulldog football here on North Idaho's radio, KSPT in Sandpoint, KBFI in Bonners Ferry, 97.1 FM, as well as Rock 103 KTPO HD2 in Kootenai. And the second half, we'll see what the Bulldogs can do. The Columbia Bank Halftime Show undergoing right now. Your Northwest Community Bank providing comprehensive solutions and expertise to businesses and individuals with branches in Sandpoint, Ponderay, and Bonners Ferry. A proud sponsor of Bulldog football. We're going to send it back to the studio. About 10 minutes of programming. Then we'll come back for the third quarter of action with the Vikings leading it 21-2 here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Taco Tuesday is back. Check out Jalapeno's dine-in only special. $3 crispy beef for chicken tacos, $4 Mexican drafts, $6 12-ounce Hornitos margaritas, and $8 for a 16-ounce. Every Monday is Margarita Monday. Order a 12-ounce margarita and get an upgrade to a 16-ounce at no extra charge. Jalapeno's is open Friday through Tuesday and closed Wednesday and Thursday. Great for takeout. Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yolk's Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yolk's is part of your life and part of our community. Yolk's Fresh Market.
And now, the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute, brought to you by Idaho's agricultural community.
The USDA raises its 2021 forecast for food price inflation. The details coming up on the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hey, thank you for making the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute a part of your day. Stay updated anytime at idahofarmnet.com. There you can subscribe to the podcast of our weekly long-form show, or you can catch the latest news from the USDA, the Idaho Farm Bureau, Capital Press, or our other content partners. You can connect with us on social media there as well. And if you have a question or comment, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us once again at idahofarmnet.com. Food prices keep going up, and so do the forecasts for this year's food price inflation. Gary Crawford has more in this report from the USDA.
The general inflation rate, rising demand for food from restaurants, a shortage of food processing workers and truck drivers to transport food, and some shortages of packaging materials, all these factors and more
are driving up the prediction for the price of food in 2021.
Economist Carolyn Chelius tracks and forecasts retail food prices for the Agriculture Department. Prices so far this year rising faster and farther than expected. And
we're seeing prices continue to increase.
She now is forecasting average grocery store food prices to rise this year by from 2.5% to 3.5%. 5%. That's 0.5% higher than her prediction last month.
Economy-wide levels of inflation are high. And so it's an overall trend in the economy and not just for food prices. But there have been particular commodities like meats that have been increasing in price much higher than average levels of inflation.
She says beef this year could average as much as 5% higher than last year. Pork maybe 6% higher. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
I'm Neil Larson. Listen to our weekly hour-long show on podcast. Catch up with us and all the latest Idaho ag news at idahofarmnet.com. This has been the Idaho Farm and Ranch Minute.
On Saturday, September 11, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., the co-op will host our annual Country Spirit Day celebration. This is the event we usually do in the spring, but this year, it will be in September. We will have community booths, vendor booths, a kids' zone with petting zoo, face painting, and new this year, the Farm Bureau Ag and School Education booth. We will have a free drawing for a propane grill from our energy department and great deals in the store. Papa Murphy's will be serving free pizza from 11:30 a.m. until 1 p.m. in the store. We hope you can make it a point to stop by and see us for some great door prizes, drawings, and free pizza. It's all happening on September 11th at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, where neighbors have been helping neighbors since 1934. 208-263-6820.
As you head out to enjoy this summer weather, stop by the Dairy Depot and stock up on snacks, beer, pop, and great hot food to go. Try the new chicken wrap and the new delivery service. On the Dover Highway, the Dairy Depot.
Become an employee owner. Increased wages at Lighthouse Foods. Starting pay is $17 to $20 an hour. Join our weekly job fair every Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at the Ella facility. Because Lighthouse is 100% employee owned, we offer generous benefits and competitive shift premiums. Don't miss this opportunity to join the Lighthouse family and start your future today. For more information, please visit our website, lighthousefoods.com/careers, or call 208-920-2877 for more information.
From America's number one travel radio show, I'm Robert Carey with today's installment of your RM World Travel Minute. If you've been flying this year, you've probably been experiencing more unruly passengers. The FAA has received more than 4,000 reports of disruptive behavior so far this year, a significant increase from past years. Those reports have led to some 700 different investigations, but at this time in 2019, there were only 146 investigations. With the zero tolerance policy mandated by the FAA earlier this year, no more warnings. Instead, folks are receiving considerable fines. I could list many of the reasons as to what's causing this. I'm sure you could too. But our job as passengers really is just to behave and not cause unnecessary agita for the already overworked flight crews, airport staff, and fellow passengers, isn't it? I mean, come on. And something else not being discussed anywhere? With more leisure passengers filling planes these days, which include less experienced travelers, I have to wonder, as we get past Labor Day next week and more business passengers return to our skies, we should see an uptick in good passenger behavior, at least through the winter holiday season. What say you? Drop us your thoughts at rmworldtravel.com.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. Whether you want to learn Spanish for future travel plans, French to connect with extended family, or maybe German to land a new job, Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you'll actually use. All you need is 15 minutes a day, and you'll be on your way to confidently speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel is designed by real language experts using a modern conversation-based technique that makes learning fun, engaging, and best of all, memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then sentences gradually get more complex. Soon you're practicing short conversations about real life topics. And with 14 languages to choose from and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll be sure to learn what matters most to you. Babbel, language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to babbel.com to try for free. That's BABBEL.com. Babbel.com.
Welcome back to the Raptors. I'm Roy, he's Stan. We're from Triple Play over in North Idaho.
Hey, I have some news. I got my new phone today.
Wouldn't that be breaking news?
Okay, funny guy. Not bad, Roy, not bad.
Seriously, how many phones have you broken at this point?
You know, 3 or 4 dozen or so.
How does one dinosaur break that many phones?
Accidentally kicking it into the wave pool, losing it in the dark on XD Dark Ride, watching it tumble into the water at mini golf, unintentionally crushing it while bowling.
I'd say I can't believe it, but I can.
I totally can't.
Do you have pockets? I don't either.
The Raptors are brought to you by Triple Play, where you can race go-karts, play laser tag, climb a ropes course, and splash around in Raptor Reef Indoor Water Park. Plus, it's all attached to a cozy hotel. Visit 3play.com.
I gotta show you this funny picture of my phone!
And score another for the wave pool.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
Well, howdy, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Co-op Trading Post, brought to you by the Co-op Gas and Supply Company. You can find them at 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay. You can call them at 208-263-6820. That's 208-263-6820. We've got a lost puppy right now, lost on July 28th at 5:30 p.m., a small Jack Russell Terrier. She was lost at Gosling Point Road and Highway 2, 4 or 5 miles east of Priest River. She's mostly white with brown on her face and ears. If you see this puppy, please call 208-304-4504. That number again, 208-304-4504. And also something up for grabs today, a 19th century cherry music cabinet used for playing piano rolls. It's going for $75. You can text a photo if you need. Please leave a message. Call 208-263-0986. That number once again, 208-263-0986. That's all for now from the Co-op Trading Post. Not only found here, but also on the website. That's NorthIdahoRadio.com. Go check it out.
Wherever you're headed, Columbia Bank has the people and resources to help you get there. Longtime experts, lifelong nice people, and real humans answering their phones. Columbia Bank is committed to providing all the services required to help build strong Northwest communities. Recently awarded the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with retail banking in the Northwest, Columbia Bank is also a proud supporter of local high school sports. Stop by any branch or check them out online at columbiabank.com.
All right, we're about a minute away from the third quarter getting underway. Chris Chatburn, Jay Vandenberg along with you. Bulldog football with our stat guy extraordinaire, Barry Burke. Keeping things tight from the stat perspective for your Jalapeno stat page. And Jay, you know, we were talking during the break. It's 21-2, but you don't give them a 70-yard run back for a touchdown. You score when you're inside the 10. It looks a lot different at halftime than it does right now.
Yeah, it could very easily be a 14-7, 14-9 game, Chris. And it could be tied up 14-14. Just a couple just missteps by the Bulldogs. You know, they've been able to run the football, you know, in that kind of wide set when they spread them out and allow Garrett Cox to get along that outside.
Kind of get ahead of steam, headed toward the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. But that bunch that was so successful against Post Falls last week in that second half really hasn't been there. It's just, again, two different scenarios. You know, Coeur d'Alene being able to prepare for it, first of all, stay home, stay in their gaps, because that's all it is, you know, create this jumbled mess and hopefully try to break one out of there. And that hasn't fooled the Vikings at all. So we'll see what Theobar has dialed up here. You know, I know he doesn't want to show too much here against a 5A school, but, you know, does he go to his bag of tricks or does he kind of hopefully maybe try to get Pettit on track here in its passing game? It's you know, 2 weeks in a row he's you know, they've really struggled to really protect him, and then
sure,
and really finding and people on the outside to make some plays.
And I would say, you know, that trying to get Pettit going from the air would be good in a couple of ways. A, you know, you're going to need that. You're just not going to be able to run your way. You know, this is 1965. It's not 3 yards in a cloud of dust anymore. You're not going to come back and win the game, yeah, running it, unless you break a couple, right? So finding a way to get some guys open and hit them is, you know, because what we've seen so far out of the Bulldogs is either throw it downfield 35 yards or throw it sideways.
Right.
Essentially, you know, that, you know.
Using that passing game as a running, basically,
yes,
designed run.
Yeah, as a designed run, the 4 or 5 slants, just quick hitches. They've tried to throw that a couple of times and Pettit's been off on those passes. But I think that that's really, you know, for the second half of this game and going forward into next week and the week after and you know, into the rest of the schedule, you know, finding a way to get some balance, because if you could have the threat of a pass right now, it just makes the running game that much more lethal.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the kick comes, and it is going to be taken by Dunkel. He's going to grab it at the 5. Head off to the far side with some good blocking. He's at the 20, the 25, the 30, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds outside the 30 at about the 34. So let's see where they say he stepped out. They say 31, so Bulldogs will take it there. First down and 10, and we'll see what they have here. And more specifically, too, Jay, you know, the offensive line so far has done a pretty good job opening some holes to run, but boy, when they've dropped back into pass protection, it has not been pretty for six quarters.
Boy, it's been pretty leaky on that left side, and you know, they, you know, that those two juniors, you know, they're one of the returners. They're two of the returners from last year. They've, you know, that Cameron Cope really had his way with Carson Laybourne in the trenches, and he's really going to have to step up his game here in the second half.
So there's a handoff to Cox. Cox looking to pick his way, jukes to the outside. He's going to get some yardage. Going to get way more than he probably deserved. All the way to the 38. So that's 6-7 yards, all Garrett Cox just desiring and willing it to be done.
Absolutely. Again, really nothing there. Again, on that delayed handoff to Pettit to Cox, but he's able to make the first guy miss, and then really not a very good job blocking downfield by that on that wide side of the field of the receivers, and he did that all on his own.
So 2nd and 3 as Cox gained 7. Another fake, this time up the middle. Pettit, he's got a first down. He's got a little more. He's got it out to the 45, so that's a gain of 7. So the Bulldogs, 2 plays and a first down. That's a good start to the third quarter.
Absolutely. You know, and the Vikings have been keen on Parker. He hasn't had the same running lanes, and their speed has definitely, you know, shows here against Post Falls, because he's been usually been able to make the first guy miss or even the second guy miss and pick up those extra chunk yards. But the Vikings here do a pretty good job of tackling that open field against Pettit.
Well, I think the Vikings are in a different league than Post Falls, frankly. And the Bulldogs, again, line up tight, going wing T, handed off up the middle. Cox is going to get about 5, and that's probably the best push out of that formation that Sandpoint's had all night.
Yeah, just behind Ben Stockton I believe that's Chapman. I just missed that number. It's either Austin Smith or Chapman off that right side, but a good job right there on first down, pick up 5 yards.
So 2nd down, Bulldogs waiting for the signals to come in. There's the always exciting board with different pictures and then the signaling that goes on. Bulldogs again line up tight on 2nd and 5. And again, hand it to Cox, and he gets a first down. He breaks it into the secondary. He drags about 3 Vikings down to the 35. That's a 15-yard gain. And again, good blocking up front, but the last 10, all Garrett Cox.
All Garrett Cox getting that second level, and he's able to hurdle one guy and then keep his feet plowing and really just drive the would-be tacklers down the field for some big yardage.
Well, the Bulldogs have not had a lot of trouble getting to the 30 or 20-yard line. It's been everything inside that. I think we had a Viking offsides there again. So the Bulldogs should get an extra 5. But so far when they've gotten inside the 20, they've either had a penalty or just not been able to complete the 10 yards. So after the 5-yard mark off, it'll be 1st and 5 for the Bulldogs.
Did he get, yeah, got the 5 there. But, yeah, good start here to the second half for the Bulldogs. You know, basically all Cox here. So he's getting into the Vikings territory, almost inside that 30-yard line.
So Bulldogs come out once again, line tight. Just one receiver, that's Robert, out wide. And again, the handoff is to Cox. He breaks it back against the grain. He's going to get enough for a first down. Give him 6-7 more inside the 25 to the 24. And Garrett Cox running like the Garrett Cox we remember from last year, just all downhill.
Oh, absolutely. And again, you know, I think, you know, halftime adjustment by Georgiano here with that offensive front. It's like, you know, watch the little tape, go over it, and say, this is what they're doing. These are the blocks. These are the angles you got to take. And so far it's working here for that Bulldog offense.
So first down, Bulldogs stay in it. Again, hand it to Cox. Same play, same side, right side. Not much this time, but he's going to lean forward to about the 21. So short gain on this one, 3. And it's going to be 2nd down and 7 as the Bulldogs have rolled off 3 minutes of this third quarter. and are looking to find pay dirt. Just the safety on the board for the Bulldogs in that first half. They trail it 21-2. But right now, looking to make a statement here early in this third quarter. Again, out of the tight formation. Pettit back to pass. Big rush. He's got a man wide open. Touchdown. Out of it. They throw it to Connor Hindenburg.
Got a penalty.
And we got a penalty. Now, I think that might be a roughing the passer at the end. So the Bulldogs make it 21-8. So 21-8, 8:30 left. You're going to have a penalty. Do you try to make it 21-10 and go for two here?
I think you do.
What a brilliant call. They run it, run it, run it. That's the first time they've shown a pass out of that. Hindenburg went down the middle, and there wasn't a Viking within 20 yards of him. He could have called for a fair catch on that one if he wanted to.
Oh, I'm just glad this young sophomore first catch for a touchdown. It was a good way to start your career here as Hindenburg comes up with a huge play.
So the Bulldogs are not going to go for two. As Jacob Gove is in to attempt the extra point. Zimmerman, the holder. Snap is down. Kick is up. It is low, but it is good. Bulldogs on the board. 21-9. Take the first possession down. Score a touchdown. We'll be back after this on North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
When you hear a commercial from Mountain West Bank, we're usually talking about providing you a service like totally free checking. Well, this commercial is about totally free tackling, totally free passing, and totally free touchdowns. That's because we sponsor broadcasts of North Idaho High School football so you can listen to games totally free. Of course, there are a few things we hope these games are totally free of. Penalties, fouls, injuries, stuff like that. Mountain West Bank, FDIC. Member FDIC.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
And we're back. I was talking with Steve at halftime, who's the manager at Super One. If you like the nightlife, if you're a night owl, please come see him so he doesn't have to work overnight anymore. So the Bulldogs are going to kick it away from the 45 of Coeur d'Alene. And this, if they choose, should be an easy touchback for the Bulldog kicker, who's got quite a leg once again. Las Kuhn can put this one through the uprights from here if he wanted to. And this one's going to sail over the fence and into the lake just about. So the Vikings will start on the 20.
Yeah, see if the Bulldogs can still dominate this running game for the Vikings. And hopefully that secondary learns a few things here. You know, you don't want to give up the big play over the top, but really they've been able to really pick and choose where they want to go with the ball through that passing game behind Braden Banks.
Yeah, they had the one long pass across the middle for a touchdown, but mostly it's been death by a thousand cuts in the passing game, 5 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards, you know, as the Bulldogs playing off a little bit, making it easy, pitch and catch for Bankston and his receivers. So the Vikings now right to left, heading north here at Barlow Stadium or Memorial Field on their first possession, and Bankston's back to pass immediately, looking to throw a screen that's well blocked, but even better defensed by the Bulldogs. And then a broken tackle, though, and about a 7 yard gain. Thought the Bulldogs were going to get it with a tackle from behind, but just not quite. They're throwing it to their backup running back. So I have to imagine that Gunnar Julio must have come up with an injury because he has not been in after about the first drive tonight.
Boy, I think he only got a couple plays in there,
yep.
And he ran out of the game. And talking to somebody down there, he looked like he was gimpy just from the get go in warm ups, and he obviously just not good enough to go.
So, second down, 3, fake handoff, and then again up the middle, quick pass. Nice coverage that time, but still completed.
Yeah, Lane Dunkel in that coverage. He's in a good spot there. Just froze for a second there. Just a little late to react to that ball being thrown by Brayden Banks. But that's all he needed to do to complete that pass and a Viking first down.
Yeah, seemed content to make the tackle. He was there. It looked like he could have got an arm into the passing lane and knocked that one down. So first down for the Vikings. And again, Bankston back to pass. This one is a screen play, and this is going nowhere. In fact, it's going backwards. Bulldogs have seen that play in their nightmares from last year, where every time they threw it, it was a 20-yard gain. This one goes for minus three.
Yeah, great job there by Garrett Cox. He identifies the play early, picks up the back. I'm out of the backfield. He's right there to make the tackle on the play. Good job by our senior.
So the ball is going to be back at the Viking 33-yard line. So loss of three, second and 13. Bankston with the one back right behind him. Man in motion off to the far side. Evens up the receiver count at two on each side. There's a handoff to the far side. Pretty big hole and a good run. Flag down. Might have a hold. And if that's a hold, it's going to put the Vikings in a big hole and a real opportunity for this Bulldog defense, Jay. If you can get him at second down and 23, marching the wrong way, you might be able to get the ball into some decent field position.
Hey, that's exactly where you want this, the defense to put this offense in those long, long down situations. So looks like we got some kind of chop block, maybe.
Yeah, a hold. Well, they got the hold on the outside. It looks like so. That's going to mark it back 10, and put it back down at the 25. So it's going to be second down now and about 21, 22 maybe.
Yeah, Bankston doing a good job, Chris. It's his ninth different receiver that's caught a ball here tonight. Like Barry Burke said, I think the equipment manager's next here. He's really spreading that ball around.
The equipment manager's probably fast. Bankston, miscommunication. The running back went the wrong way, and the Bulldogs send the Vikings backwards yet again. So third down and forever coming for the Vikings, who lost another three in this possession. And the start of this second half so far going the way of the Bulldogs. And, Jay, this is a big play. You've got to be able to stop them now on third down and 24.
You got to get off the field here, Chris. This is exactly the start the Bulldogs needed here in the second half. And get off the field here, get that ball back in this offense hand, see if they can't make it a one-score game.
Bankston fakes the handoff, back to pass, going deep, looking for a man, and he overshoots his receiver, who was beyond the Bulldog defenders, but the ball farmed harmlessly to the turf as they're going for Tanner Langley. So fourth and long, and the Bulldog defense, with a little help from the Vikings, gets the job done, and Sandpoint's offense is going to get a chance to close this gap just a little bit.
Absolutely. Hey, let's field this punt, field it cleanly. Let's get some positive yardage, and let's get this offense back on the field. But, boy, the Bulldogs dodge a bullet there. Is that Langley? Boy, he showed some speed there as he ran right by our free safety. But again, that's always a tough throw to be made there down the field in that timing to air it out.
And Garrett Cox is back to receive the kick, and Cox is going to let it bounce. It takes a Bulldog bounce. And so Sandpoint's going to get it at the 42-yard line. 21-9 with 5:56 left in this third quarter. And this scoring update brought to you by Interstate Concrete, a proud sponsor of Bulldog football for more than 30 years. Glad you're along with us tonight here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio. Bulldogs showing some life here in the third quarter after being down 21-2 at the half with their second possession coming. So last possession, Jay, you spent a lot of it in the veer, the wing tee, the whatever you want to call it. You were successful. You change it up a little bit this time.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to give Cox a little break here. Here comes Owen Wimmer, who's a strong runner.
So the Bulldogs come out in their more standard formation with their four wides. Pettit back to pass, being rushed, running, looking. He's got a man, and it's incomplete and almost intercepted. Waited about three steps too long probably to try to unload that one to his intended receiver that time, Nathan Robert.
Boy, that ball, the corner's just sitting there waiting for that ball to come in there, and he made a break on the ball, almost came up with a huge interception there.
So second and 10. I thought Pettit that time, if he'd have turned the jets on, had some real estate in front of him.
Yeah, get five or six positive yardage on that. you know, again, the Vikings do a good job of covering our receivers downfield. But, again, opportunity there by Pettit.
So, second down, fake handoff. Pettit throws it wildly. Miscommunication with Frank, who was coming back and maybe coming back too far. Just that one just didn't look good from the start.
Yeah, just didn't come out of Pettit's hand. It was kind of a late, delayed handoff there, and just didn't get it out of Wimmer's body in time, and just an errant throw there by Pettit. Big third down play.
Yeah, third down Bulldogs after the stop have had two plays that didn't do much. So here we go on third and 10. Bulldogs at their own 42-yard line. Trailing it 21-9 to the Vikings. Pettit back, looking, throwing, getting hammered as he throws, and throwing it over the head of his intended receiver. Of course, he had to just unload that before he was unloaded upon. So three and out as the Bulldogs after their last possession, which was a running spectacle down the field. Throw it three times and now going to have to punt it.
Yeah, you know, you pull your lead back out to get a break. He's playing both ways and kind of changed what Theobar wanted to do there. But that offensive line, the play was there. Vandenberg working his way on that. He was open, but he got to do a better job up front to block that. That could have been a big play for the Bulldogs.
Hurston to kick it away for a punter insanely close to the line of scrimmage, don't you think? We've got a flag. Bulldogs look like they're going to be marked back five. Boy, usually that punter's like, what, 10, 15 yards back behind? 12 yards. And he was like right next to the line. Now he's back there where he belongs. They for sure weren't going for anything crazy there with Hurst in there to kick it away.
Kick it away from him.
Snap is good. Hurst's kick is high, and it is in just crazily high, and it's
Bubble
dropped.
It.
Ball's loose, and then it's going to be fallen on by a Viking at the 30-yard line. No awareness of where the ball was by one of the Bulldogs. It was engaged in the blocker, and the ball practically dropped at his feet.
You know, that's just those things. Kids just don't go home on Saturdays and Sundays and watch football and understand
apparently
what this is all about. You know, fair catch. Get right around him. If he drops that ball, it's live. Get it. Instead, they're just kind of standing nonchalantly, just expecting it to, you know, him to catch it. But you gotta be on it. Nice punt there by
The great punt by Hurst. I mean, that ball came out of the sky. It had to have ice on it, so no wonder it was tough to catch. I mean, it just came down from so far. So back on the field, Braden Bankston and the Coeur d'Alene Viking offense. Bankston looking to pass, rolling out to his left. Now he's going to run, and he's not going anywhere. He's sacked. Good defense by the Bulldogs.
Yeah, good coverage out there to the outside by McCorkle. And looks like Wade Zimmerman, it looks like, on that far side. Good job of covering that receivers, and really no place for Bankston to go.
Yep.
Actually, it was Dunkel, excuse me.
Yeah, Ballison and one other Bulldog who I didn't see there combining on the tackle. So it's another loss of four.
Yeah, Ballison, really interesting specimen. He's really quick, but he plays that defense front. One of the strongest guys in the weight room, doing a good job getting out of the block and then putting the pressure on Bankston.
Man in motion, and there's another snap over the head of the quarterback, and the ball's loose at the 5-yard line. And Braden Bankston falls on it, but that's a 20-yard loss at least. And it's going to be third down and a chunk for the Vikings, who once again had the snap. I mean, Manu Ball on a ladder couldn't have caught that one.
Boy, that was another one way over the head. The Bulldogs
wide and right
here. Man. Got to capitalize on this and understand where that first down marker is. Get your free safety back. Get him back and play that center field here. Banks doesn't have a real strong arm, Chris, and he's going to have to put some air under down the field. You can come up and make a big play here.
Third and 32 for the Vikings. Bankston rolling and looking, and he's going to run out of a tackle. He's still on his feet. He throws it well downfield. It's incomplete. So fourth down coming. The Bulldog defense really doing a number here in this second half. Of course, the Vikings having a little something to do with that. 3:56 left. Still 21-9 here on Bulldog Football. This scoring update brought to you by Sun Rental, a proud supporter of Bulldog football and the Bulldogs since 1979. They rent everything under the sun.
Boy, Bulldogs defense doing their part here.
Yes.
You know, so far through three, you know, two and a half quarters, almost three quarters here, you know, doing a good job. Only giving up two touchdowns and really giving this Bulldog offense opportunities to get back in this game.
I'm going to jump out on a limb and make a prognostication that we're going to see Garrett Cox running the football here for a couple of plays. There's a kick that's going to be not fielded by Cox. He lets it go, and it rolls inside the 48-yard line. And Garrett Cox goes back for a lot of punts, but he doesn't field many of them.
Yeah, you know, in that situation, you're going to get great field positions to stay away from it. Yeah, offense is going to start. You're near that 50-yard line, so I bet you that's called.
Gotcha.
Just let him punt. Hey, let's not make a stupid play here, give up a turnover on that. Always dicey, those punt returns.
True. But fair catch would have saved the Bulldogs about 10 yards probably. So I guess when you're talking the difference between the 48 and the 42 of Coeur d'Alene, probably not that big of a deal. So the Bulldogs come out with Cox standing right next to Parker Pettit. Four wides here as the Bulldogs look to close a little closer. Fake handoff to Cox, and Pettit gets snowed under for a five-yard loss. And that was a jailbreak by the Vikings defensive line.
Yeah, just nothing. I mean, they had three guys on the defensive line, and they all got 5 yards upfield. No chance for Parker or Garrett on that play to pick up any pods, and it ends up being a four-yard loss on the play.
So second and 14 for the Bulldogs. Pettit with the four wides and Garrett Cox. Back to pass. Another big rush. They throw the screen pass. It's incomplete. And Pettit just had to get rid of it because, once again, a free rusher was running at him, Andrew Clute. And the ball was out before Garrett Cox had any idea what was coming his way.
You got to do a better job of blocking somebody. You know where the play is going. It's your advantage. And, you know, that left side just didn't get it done. And really, I mean, if Cox catches that, it's probably another loss of a couple, 2 or 3 yards.
So third and long for the Bulldogs, who had one great drive here in this third quarter. But since then, the offense is ground to a halt. Again, back to pass. Pettit looking, throwing. It's caught by Vandenberg. He's at the 30. He's at the 20. He's going to be knocked down inside the 15. What a catch by Ari Vandenberg as the defensive back tried to undercut and intercept the ball. And Pettit's throw was perfect. Ari made a perfect catch, a great grab. And the Bulldogs are knocking on the door down at the 11 after the big play.
That a kid. I'm proud of my boy. Hey, does a great job of sustaining that leverage and made the defender have to go through him and allows him to catch the ball. And then he's able to come up with the play, but gets caught from behind. But a big first third down play there by the Bulldogs.
Hand off to Cox up the middle. Cox breaks it. Cox is into the end zone. And just like that, the Bulldogs trail by 6. 21 to 15. Oh, my goodness. We've got a football game breakout in this third quarter, Jay.
Boy, I tell you, yeah, we do, Chris. And again, great job of blocking off that right side by Ari Vandenberg and Max Frank. They seal that edge. Vandenberg takes his guy and picks up another one on that block and then allows Cox to cut it back up inside off of Frank and then into the end zone. Bulldogs, woo!
All right, so the Bulldogs looking to pull within a 5-point deficit with 2:39 left in this third quarter. The extra point is up and good. Bulldogs are making a move. We'll see if they can continue after this timeout here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio.
Sandpoint Superdrug is conveniently open 7 days a week with all the essentials you need. Stop by their pharmacy, immune support area, nutrition center, or shop for household and hardware items. You can always call ahead to order your prescriptions online. They have in-store pickup, free in-town delivery, and curbside pickup. In their expanded hardware department, you'll find the things that you need for all of your home projects. Ask about their contractor discounts. Sandpoint Superdrug is here to help. Located on 5th Avenue in Sandpoint.
September is an exciting month for the Pondere Winery. It marks the beginning of a new vintage of handcrafted wines made right here in Sandpoint by our dedicated crew. September is also Wine Club month, so keep a lookout for your wine club shipment or stop by the tasting room at 301 Cedar to pick up your 2019 Primitivo and Cabernet Franc. Members enjoy wine club pricing all month long on these two beautiful wines. We will continue to offer live music on Friday and Saturday nights, so check out our Facebook page or our website at powine.com for the latest news. It's harvest time, so come celebrate with us at the Pondere Winery.
Yeah. All right, 2:39 left, and after the 45-yard strike from Parker Pettit to Ari Vandenberg and then Garrett Cox's touchdown run, the Bulldogs are down 21-16 with 2:39 left, and the Bulldogs are on a 16-0 unanswered skein. And we'll see if the defense can keep this up as we've got the kick coming up for the Bulldogs here. Once again, the super foot of Las Coon set to send it deep. Hopefully he can get it into the end zone, make the Vikings start at the short. 20. That's going to come up a little short. Got under it a little bit, fielded at the 7-yard line, and nice return to the outside, to the 20, to the 25, to the 30, outside the 35, and about three missed tackles.
Fumble. He took Bulldogs it from him. Things. He took it from him. Oh, man.
Luke McCorkle came up with the football. Bulldogs say they have it.
They took it from him. That's a fumble.
They're going to... McCorkle should run into the end zone here.
Yeah, Blitzel's been gone. Yeah. Oh, he took it from him. Before he came down, he was underneath him, and he grabbed that ball right out of his hands. Oh, they're going to – boy, that's a huge miss there.
Yeah, and this capacity Bulldog crowd not liking it one bit. I think Jeremy Thielbar is telling the official right next to him what you were saying. We have an injured Viking who apparently has got some sort of a cramp action going over there, that they stole it from him before he got to the ground.
Boy, that's just a disappointing.
Come on, you know the Vikings are going to get a couple of calls.
Boy, that was because he went over the top. He had no ball in his hand when he came to the ground, and the ball's going the other way. Yeah, that's just a big miss there by this crew.
That's
a game changer.
That's one, too, that McCorkle, if he realizes that he's got to run right away, right? He's got to act immediately like, oh, I got this free and clear, and then make the officials blow it dead or decide right then and there, not let him talk it over. So Bankston in the offense now at the 35-yard line. This snap, good. Bankston looking. He's got all day to throw. Can't find anyone. Now there's a pass that is incomplete, but we've got a flag in the Bulldog secondary, and I think we're going to have a little defensive holding situation on the far side. Not involved in the pass attempt. McCorkle, pretty good coverage there, but I think well before that on one of the other receivers. And we're going to have a defensive hold on the Bulldogs.
I think they're going to get Zimmerman, number 16. He's talking to the judge right there. Yeah, he's going to be called for that holding call downfield. Big break here as the Bulldogs... you know, a good return set there by the Vikings. Bulldogs should have had him stopped about right around the 20-yard line, but the return guy was able to get down the field. And the Vikings here getting a little of that momentum back here on a couple, you know, plays here that really didn't go their way.
So first and 10 for the Vikings after the penalty. They're at their own 45-yard line. Zimmerman, little trouble, throws it down the middle. It's caught. Another 11, 12 yards. This is what we saw in the first half from the Vikings as the pass is caught by Evan Mallory and good for another 12 yards and a first down.
Yeah, just that quick. You're working against Lane Dunkel in that slot position there, and it's an easy release to the middle of the field. The linebackers clear out, and he just throws it underneath, and an easy completion for, you know, 12 yards and a first down.
Braden Bankston, the quarterback with the snap, looking, rolling, breaking out of pressure, still looking, now turning and throwing, and it is incomplete, caught. We'll see.
Hit the ground.
They're going to say incomplete. So second down.
Really delayed.
Good coverage in the secondary that time by the Bulldogs, Jay, because Bankston had all day and into next week to throw that one.
Boy, he did. He got a good protection back there, but a good job by that secondary, which has been kind of the spot here that the people have thought that, that most teams are going to attack, but they've done a good job of covering receivers downfield, especially with all that time given to Bankston on that play.
So second and 10 now is Bankston. See if the Bulldogs can get another super snap from the center here that'll help them out. This one high, but it's taken down. Bulldog, big rush, incomplete. And then their flag falls. You got to be joking.
This is terrible.
That is the worst call in the history of football. If that's roughing the passer, I don't know what you're supposed to do. He tackled him.
This is terrible. Holding. Oh, got a hold.
Oh, got a hold against. Okay, whew, that I can believe.
Yeah, you got to take him back. I was going to say, that's a great job right there. Delayed blitz by Benefield. He doesn't see the receipt. There's no running back out of the backfield. He gets caught up in the block and blocking, and so he just sees red and chases after Bankston, and a huge play there by that Bulldog defense there.
Yes, and the holding call is going to make this again. The Vikings are going to be facing second down and very long for the third drive. It's second and more than 20 as the hold was about 4 yards in the backfield. So this is going to be second and 22, it looks like, about. Ball all the way back to the Viking 42. They got to get to their own, to the Bulldog 43 just about for a first down. So 25 to go as they actually have to get down to the 33-yard line. Wrong stick I was looking at. So second and long, Bulldog defense looking to get another stop. Bankston back, throws. He's got a man. It's over his head. It's going to be third and forever. Trying to get it out this time to Evan Mallory. It's incomplete. 1:20 left in the third quarter. That Jay has been all Bulldogs.
Boy, it has been all Bulldogs since about midway through that second quarter, Chris. And I mean, messing up on a couple opportunities there. But, boy, this defense has really come out here to play tonight.
Well, they've been spectacular in this second half. So third down and long. Bulldogs looking to the defense, trying to get it back to the offense, which has had a couple of touchdown drives in this third quarter. Vikings taking forever to get the play in. I'm not sure what you call on third and 25. Bulldog crowd on its feet, making a lot of noise. They throw the screen out of the backfield, and this is going to get some pretty decent yardage out to about midfield, but that's going to be well shy of a first down. And the Vikings will have to punt it away.
Yeah, they're going to play a little field position game here. You know, they're up five here, you know, here with just under a minute to play in the third quarter, Chris. And they're forced to punt this ball, and hopefully their defense can get off the field.
So Garrett Cox is going to go back and, well, based on past history, watch the ball hit the ground. Snap is good, quick snap, and the pooch punt is an excellent one. And Cox is going to run away and hope it gets into the end zone, and it's not. Oh, it does.
Oh, it does. He didn't
field
it.
Oh, they didn't field it, and it's going to come out to the 20. What a break, because the Viking, if he catches it, the Bulldogs are going to be pinned at the 3, and instead it's out to the 20. Bulldogs trailing at 21-16, and everything's coming up the Bulldogs' way. And this scoring update brought to you by Jalapenos for the finest Mexican food. On 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint, now open with their convenient pickup window. It is Jalapenos, and the Bulldogs are red hot right now, Jay.
Boy, they got all the momentum. This home crowd is getting into it, and the Vikings reeling a little bit. Really not able to get anything going offensively. A couple plays here and there, but that Bulldog defense tightens, and let's see what this Bulldog offense is. They can continue to move the ball on the ground and look. And, you know, look to get some yards in the passing game.
Yeah, it's the two big passes, but really, you know, their ability to run the ball has set up both of those passes. So Pettit now on first down. Keeps it, heads up the middle. Picks his way clean to the 25. Going to gain almost 5. 4 and change. So second down and a long 5 coming up.
Got a Viking has down.
Another Viking on the field. Looks like he's holding his leg or his knee. Could be another cramping situation. Vikings have more guys going both ways than you're used to seeing from a 5A school. A lot of guys on the sideline, but a lot of the same numbers on both sides of the ball. Of course, when you've got some of the guys out there they've got, it's easy to understand why.
Yeah, and the Bulldogs, you know, they have a platoon of guys that they play both ways. You know, obviously Garrett Cox, number one, he's playing a lot both ways. But and then you got a lot of that defensive front. You got some offensive linemen playing some defensive tackle and rotating themselves in there, keeping bodies fresh, where the Vikings are more, you know, they're kind of going with five guys pretty much both sides. And let's see if this this tempo that the Bulldogs play with start to wear this Viking team down.
So we've got hobbling off the field, number 30, Judah Laurie, and he seems to be okay after getting the old cramp treatment. Second down, long five for the Bulldogs. Hand off to Cox. No, it's a fake by Pettit. No, Cox keeps it, and he breaks out of the pack. He's at the 30. He's at the 40. He cuts against the grain. He's at the 50. He's inside Viking territory down to the 40-yard line. That's going to be a nice 5-6 yard run for the Bulldogs, and all the momentum right now on the side of the Sandpoint Bulldogs, Jay.
Absolutely. And, you know, Cox's ability to make the first guy miss and get through that tackle and then run it down the field, and got a nice block there by Max Frank, doing a good job to get the next 20.
Bulldogs on the drive, down five. Fourth quarter on the way here at North Idaho's Radio and Rock 103.
For all your shopping needs, the place to go is Yolk's Fresh Market in Ponderay. They've got it all under one roof. An in-store bakery and deli, a meat department with certified Hereford beef and fresh seafood, a truly fresh produce department, your own in-house pharmacy, general everyday items for your home, office, or vehicle, a floral department, Nature's Corner, a quality natural organic food section. Yolk's is part of your life and part of our community. Yolk's Fresh Market.
Don't miss out on life's unforgettable moments. You have adventures waiting and challenges to tackle. And now, P1FCU can help you anywhere life takes you. If you need to make a loan payment, a simple transfer, or even apply for a loan, P1FCU's video banking has you covered. It's real banking with real people. Download the app or visit p1fcu.org to get started. P1FCU, a Pacific Northwest original since 1938. Insured by NCUA.
And we're back here, Bulldogs, as we start the fourth quarter, and Jay, Garrett Cox is having himself a night tonight.
I tell you what, it's this third quarter just erupted for Garrett Cox. He has 84 yards rushing in the quarter, 144 for the game through three. Another huge night. This time the Bulldogs, it's not so much Pettit, but it's Garrett Cox, and he's doing a lot of on his own, but this on a few of these plays, he's got some great blocking on the edge.
So Cox going to take a quick breather. And the Bulldogs are going to go with their backup. And a nice run up the middle into the secondary. Wimmer gains another 7 or 8. Right now the Bulldogs just have the Vikings on their heels. And, Jay, you know, we're just getting going in the fourth quarter. I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself, but I will say this. If the Bulldogs are able to eke one out here, that third quarter is going to be one for the ages to remember.
Well, I tell you what, it's been a while since we've been able to, you know, we haven't had many opportunities.
No.
I think it was 2011, but boy, this running game behind Garrett Cox has really proven to be something special.
So second down and 7 as Cox is back in there. They pitch it to Cox. Cox looks like he wants to throw. He is. Cox has got a man wide open downfield. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Bulldogs take the lead. 22-21 with his second touchdown catch of the night. Connor Hinberg, Bulldogs. Trickeration, Sandpoint up 1, 22-21. And
wow.
The Viking faithful at the far side of the field are in stunned silence.
Boy, everybody forgets Hinberg. Everybody forgets that Garrett Cox started at quarterback last season through two games, and then he shows that he can actually throw the ball downfield. They all bite on that fake, and Hinberg, ball underthrown, but Hinberg does a good job, the young sophomore, the game of his life.
And you could see right away, as soon as Cox got it, he was thinking pass. He caught it. He didn't turn up field. He was sort of drifting sideways, waiting for Hinberg to come clean. He did. The Bulldogs score again. And, wow, what a turnaround in this second half for the Bulldogs as they're looking to go up 3 now and get the two-point conversion. Cox is not going to get it. They hand it off to him, and it's stuffed. But the Bulldogs lead it 22-21 We'll keep it here through this break and remind you that this scoring update, this very happy scoring update, is brought to you by 7BTV, your authorized Dish retailer, locally owned and operated, and ready to help you, a proud sponsor of Bulldog Sports.
Well, I don't think anybody throughout the state, there was one guy that actually picked the Bulldogs to win. I think it was Idaho Sports picked the Bulldogs to win.
Wow.
But nobody else, I think, in the state thought the Bulldogs would be having a lead here in the fourth quarter. Boy, what a great effort here in the second half by the Sandpoint Bulldogs defense, and boy, some big plays by that Bulldog offense.
Well, I will say this. You know, we've got 11 minutes of football left. A lot can happen. But one thing this Bulldog team has proved tonight, last week was no fluke.
Exactly. No fluke.
No fluke. They are a good football team, and they are going to be a force to be reckoned with in the 4A ranks. With their, this has got to, scores like this are going to make the Lakelands and Moscows and some of those other teams down south think that, we don't want to go up to Sandpoint to play because it isn't going to be very much fun.
Yeah, one of the keys to this game, Chris, is making an offense one-dimensional. Bulldogs so far, Vikings, holding the Vikings 11 carries for a minus 21 yards.
Glass kicks it deep. It's going to be taken at about the 3. It's dropped and then picked up. And the return is out to the 12.
Wes Benefield
with a big hit. And the Vikings are pinned deep. Wow.
Boy, what a great angle kick that time. I tell you, if you're going to kick it down there and it's going to be returned, you put it in that coffin corner, make them do something. There's no blocking, and Wes Benefield fired out of a canyon and throws a big hit on the return man.
Whew, man. So the Vikings now, who suddenly see themselves trailing for the first time tonight, 22-21. Bulldogs are on a 22-point run, and the Vikings have it all the way back inside the 15-yard line. Bankston. One thing the Bulldogs have not had yet is a turnover. Maybe they can get one here. Bankston throws it. It's caught. And there's a big gain out across the 20 to the 27-yard line. And that's how you get out of a hole quickly. They throw that one to Evan Mallory, and it's a first down for the Vikings.
Boy, to just clear out that linebacker, sneak that quick slant underneath, Chris, and that time beating Jack Zimmerman on that quick slant was the Vikings. And, boy, a big play there under the shadow of their own end zone.
So first and 10, Vikings get it out to the – they mark him 28-yard line. So big 16-yard gain there. Back to Passerman again, trying to throw the wheel route. Instead, he throws it to the back underneath. And this is going to be a short gain out to about the 33. So give him 4, maybe 5. Second down coming up. Good job by the Bulldogs there on that wheel route. I believe that was for Sandpoint on the Joseph Hughes, who was with the running back the whole way. They were trying to get one deep.
Yeah, no, good job by Hughes. He's a kid that played some JV ball last year, but really filling some deep, big shoes here tonight and having a well of a game.
You could say. All right, here we go on second down. Handoff up the middle. And like most of the night, nothing. Maybe a yard. No, he's going to lose one. So the Vikings running game continues to draw negative yardage, and it's going to be third down and 6.
Boy, good job again by that defensive line front, getting off the blocks, and then the linebackers able to scrape in and make tackles in the open field. And boy, this is a Viking team that's not used to being in this situation up north. And boy, the Bulldogs give them everything they can handle.
Well, it's been 10 years since the Vikings have come up to Sandpoint. If the Bulldogs can do something and hold on to this one-point lead or extend it, it might be 10 years before they want to come back.
Understand where that first-yard marker is here. Look to that far side of the field.
Bankston back to pass, looking, trying to find a man. It is up in the air and incomplete, batted around twice, almost intercepted. Flag flies, and we might have a Bulldog with a little early contact. Let's see. I don't like the placement of that flag.
Well, I don't know.
It's pass interference against the Bulldogs. So that's going to give the Vikings the football all the way out to the 47-yard line. and turn what would have been a fourth of seven into a first and 10.
Boy, bailed him out again. I didn't see it. It looked like a boom, boom play there, Chris. The ball, you know, he was on the run. They're moving out of the pocket, and the receiver kind of had to stop for it, and it's kind of incidental down the field. And, boy, that play goes against this Bulldog defense. But, what a great game.
So Braden Bankston ready to take the snap again. Fakes the handoff, back to throw, throws it. It's incomplete. Trying to get that slant one more time for Mallory. And that one was low and inside, so it'll be second and 10.
Well, that's just all they've had into that passing game tonight, Chris, is those slants. Again, looked like he was had a step on Zierman, but a little bit of pressure there brought by the Bulldogs, and he's just unable to put the ball where it needed to be caught.
So second and 10, Bulldogs clinging to a one-point lead. Boy, how big does that play loom now in the on the kick return? Where the Bulldogs look like they had it, the ball taken away. There's a run to the outside, and this is the best run for the Vikings in a long time. It's going to gain a few, 7-8 yards.
Boy, one of the coaches gets taken out, Jared Campbell. He's a tough guy back. He's a throwback guy. He pops right back up. Boy, that was the biggest play on the run game here for the Vikings here in this game, and he's able to pick up about 8 yards and put the Vikings here in about a third and two.
Yep, like. Third and two. They're at the just across the 49, and they need to get to the opposite 49. So a short two or a long one and a half, the way whatever you want to call it. Crowd on its feet, cheering on the Bulldog defense. Third and short. Vikings come out tight formation. Trying to get the first down. They are going to get very close.
Yeah. He's going to get it, I believe. But he just able to stretch the ball out there.
Reach the ball out, and that was going to be good enough for the first down. So that first down, and the Vikings will keep possession now at the Bulldog 43-yard line.
Boy, that time just empty. Just give it to the running back and just try to find a hole, and he was able to pick up the 2 yards barely as Jack Zimmerman came up there and to try to prevent him from getting that ball out there. But, boy, big play by that Viking offense.
Down to 8:50 left in the ball game. Bulldogs up one. Vikings with the football and on the move after they were inside their 10. There's a play put up, incomplete. Good defense in the back end. Dunkel on the pass defense. It's going to be second and 10 as Bankston was running for his life on that one.
Again, pressure brought by Wes Benefield. He sees again the back stays inside for protection, and he just fires up the field, forces Bankston to throw that ball at the last second, and pretty well defended again by Lane Dunkel, who's having himself a pretty good night tonight.
So second and 10. Little confusion by the Vikings on their formation. Now Bankston comes up nearly to the line, drops back, and looks to pass. Looking, pointing, throwing. Has a man open. It's caught. Out of the backfield, they throw it to the running back.
Got a holding call right here. A block in the back or holding against the Vikings on that play. As McCorkle was in the play there to make the tackle, and it looked like he was shoved from behind or held.
So what would have been a first down then, if it's a block in the back, going to move the Vikings back. As the officials continue to ruminate on what the situation might be. Bulldogs leading at 22-21 with 8:34 left. This scoring update brought to you by Interstate Concrete, a proud sponsor of Bulldog football for more than 30 years. They finally have figured out the penalty situation, and they're going to call it against the Vikings. So instead of a first down, it's going to be second and long again. And, Jay, that's been the Bulldogs' best friend, the Vikings' second and long.
Well, yeah, just try to get off the field here. Just over 8 minutes to play, and you know, the Vikings probably their best offensive possession we've seen since the first quarter, Chris. And they're able to really kind of get that back out of the backfield to make some plays here in the last few. See if the Bulldogs don't dial him in.
Second down, 16 for the Vikings. Bulldog defense getting some last minute instructions from the defensive coaches who are nearing the field. During the stoppage of play, Bankston claps, looks, wants to throw. He's going deep. He's got a man out there. It is incomplete. McCorkle doing a great job fighting with the receiver. Never really saw the ball, but he had a good eye on the receiver. And as soon as he put his hands up, McCorkle was fighting him for it.
Yeah, looking for the big receiver, Cameron Cope, who lines out wide to this side. And just looking for a little stop and go, Chris. And McCorkle, not fooled, gets right in his hip pocket and able to keep Cope from coming down with a big play down the sideline.
So third down and 16.
You know, this is kind of where Cody Steiger comes in and makes big plays, Chris. He's been a big play guy for the Bulldogs the last two seasons. See if he can't come up with something here now.
Crowd loud. Bulldogs leading it by one. Third down and 16 for the Vikings. Bulldog 49-yard line. Bankston claps, drops, looks, being rushed, throws it. It is caught. But it's going to be short of a first down. There was a fight for the football between, I believe it was Dunkel. And the receiver. It's a catch, and it's going to be a fourth and two at the 36-yard line. Maybe
Boy.
Fourth and three.
And Wes Benefit was held there on that play. He came on a delayed blitz, and a Coeur d'Alene Viking running back just kind of hooked him there, slowed him down, and it allowed Bankston to kind of get a step there and deliver the ball downfield.
Well, the Vikings have to talk about it. We'll take timeout. Fourth and three for the Vikings coming up after this on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio.
As you head out to enjoy this summer weather, stop by the Dairy Depot and stock up on snacks, beer, pop, and great hot food to go. Try the new chicken wrap and the new delivery service. On the Dover Highway, the Dairy Depot.
When you hear a commercial from Mountain West Bank, we're usually talking about providing you a service like totally free checking. Well, this commercial is about totally free tackling, totally free passing, and totally free touchdowns. That's because we sponsor broadcasts of North Idaho High School football so you can listen to games totally free. Of course, there are a few things we hope these games are totally free of. Penalties, fouls, injuries, stuff like that. Mountain West Bank, FDIC. Member FDIC.
All right, fourth and three coming up. The entire Bulldog defensive coaching staff on the field during the timeout talking it over with their players. Vikings facing a fourth and three. What a big play in this game, Jay, for the Bulldogs. If they can get the stop here, they will have a real shot to get a victory.
Oh, absolutely. You know, just under 8 minutes to go here, fourth and a long three, Chris. And, boy, if you need a play right now, this is the time for this defense to step up and get after them.
Well, and you would surmise that the Vikings, although they're lined up pretty tight, are probably going to try and throw it because they have not been able to run it much at all tonight. And Bankston's rolling. He's looking to throw. He's got a man in motion and a first down inside the 30 down to the 29. They just ran the guy all the way across the formation, and he was wide open.
Yeah, just Cody Steiger, number 15, just couldn't get over the top. He's trying to chase it, but a pretty well-designed play there by that Coeur d'Alene Viking staff.
So first down now for the Vikings. The ball at the Bulldog 29-yard line.
Takes a long time for that to happen. The Bulldog defense in front, you'd like to see a little more pressure brought by the Bulldogs on that play.
So Bankston now, four wides, one back. It's pretty much all passing. They throw another slant. This one's caught into the secondary, and it's going to be down to the 10-yard line as breaking a tackle and getting down to that 10. The receiver, number two for the Vikings, it looks like, Isaiah Griffin.
Another guy going both ways here for the Vikings. But, again, that quick slant to the far side, really tough to cover as, the linebackers just kind of they clear the linebackers out of there, and it's just wide open. It's one-on-one, and again, another pretty easy catch, throw pitch and catch.
Well, we'll see if the Bulldogs can stiffen up inside their red zone because the Vikings have it first and goal at the 10. Looking to retake the lead. The Bulldogs just ran off 22 in a row to take it. Bankston looking, throwing it. And he's going to be, yeah, he threw the ball 5 yards before the Bulldogs tackled the quarterback out of bounds. That's going to be a roughing the passer, and that's a good call, Jay.
Yeah, you know, he's running the ball, and Cox is right within a step. You know, he's looking to the legs. He didn't go high, and he tackles him. But, you know, pretty I don't know. I just don't – you know, he's a threat to run the ball there. And, I don't know.
I don't know. I think the combination of he'd thrown it, three steps later he's out of bounds. You know, The out of bounds, I think, had a lot to do with that. So instead of second down and goal, it's going to be first and goal from the 5.
Yeah, the Vikings getting some big calls here.
They
on this
have
drive.
Been, yes. Penalties have really assisted them in this drive.
Defense for the Bulldogs been out there for a while, too, Chris.
So at the 5, Braden Bengston and the Viking offense trailing at 22-21, 6:39 left in this fourth quarter. Bengston fakes, throws the screen pass to the outside, trying to get to the pylon. Isn't going to happen. Gain of a couple. Pretty good job that time by the Bulldogs. McCorkle and a couple of his friends extending that play out to the sideline.
Yeah, boy, three guys out there. It was 3-on-3 there, and the Bulldogs able to keep him from getting in the end zone. It looks like maybe a half a yard on that play.
So it's going to be second and goal from the 4, maybe the 4.5, the 3.5. Tight formation this time. Wildcat into the backfield, nothing. They tried to just run this power formation, and Wildcat, Lane Dunkel, first one there. It's going to be third and goal from the 3.
Boy, did the Vikings put their trust in their defense and go for a field goal here to take the lead, or are they going to risk it and go for it here?
Wow, it is fourth and goal. Boy, yikes. 6 minutes left.
They're going to go for it, Chris.
It sure looks like it.
Yeah, looks like they're
going to kick the field goal. Bringing in the field goal kicking team to try and take the lead. It's essentially an extra point. Ball almost in the middle of the field. But a good job the Vikings. All the way down.
Here. They didn't call a timeout on the field.
They're going to get a delay a game here any second unless they call a timeout.
Now they're running the clock now, which is
No, the officials weren't set. Now they snap the clock. Vikings going for the 22-yard field goal. Kick is up, and it is good.
Oh, good.
Right through the uprights. So 24-21, Vikings go up 2. Bulldogs will get the football after this on Rock 103 in North Idaho's radio.
Come out and enjoy the taste and lake views at Ivano's Del Lago, located on the Sam Owen Peninsula on Lake Pend'Oreille. Our location provides the best sunsets on the lake. Ivano's Del Lago is open now for lunch and dinners, Wednesday through Sunday. Open at noon till 8:30 for the last seating. Make your reservations now. Daily specials by Skip and back by demand, coconut lime cocktail by Tim. Ivano's, a Sandpoint tradition for over 36 years. Call today, 208-264-0466.
Become an employee owner. Increased wages at Lighthouse Foods. Starting pay is $17 to $20 an hour. Join our weekly job fair every Wednesday between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. at the Ella facility. Because Lighthouse is 100% employee owned, we offer generous benefits and competitive shift premiums. Don't miss this opportunity to join the Lighthouse family and start your future today. For more information, please visit our website, lighthousefoods.com/careers, or call 208-920-2877 for more information.
All right, there's 5:19 left. The Bulldogs trail the Vikings now by 2, 24-22. And boy, that 2-point conversion looms large now,
yeah, boy,
Jay,
it does,
doesn't
Chris.
It?
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing. You know, it could be a tie game here going the Bulldogs' chance to pull off this upset. But hey, they're going to have to get it down there and get into that area where their kicker, or they can punch it in the end zone here.
Kick is going to be taken over the shoulder at the 2-yard line by Dunkel. Dunkel coming to the near side, gets across the 15, out to the 19. So Bulldogs have a long ways to go. Well, Jay, 5:13 left, one drive. If you can score a touchdown, you're probably going to beat the Coeur d'Alene Vikings.
Boy, you know, you got 5 minutes. The clock's going to be running here to see if the Bulldogs do offensively. If, been, you know, you know, they've had the Coeur d'Alene Vikings number here in the second half. We'll see if the offense that's kind of worn down this defense can't keep the ball moving the chains down the field here.
So the Bulldogs now come out, and here they are on offense. Pettit, Cox, near side, Vandenberg and Frank. Robert on the far side, also out there, Connor Henberg. Pettit back, tries to throw the screen. He's got Cox. Cox catches it at the 20. He breaks to the outside at the 25. He's out across the 30. That's going to be enough for a first down. Bulldogs get 11.
Boy.
And, boy, indeed.
Boy, that big guy was bearing down on Pettit. He was to get it over the top. The ball was tipped, but he threw it just good enough to get it in the hands of Cox, who does the rest and picks up some nice yards. Looks like 11 yards on that first down pass completion.
So 5 minutes now before this, when this play is underway. Pettit leans down, grabs the snap, picks it up, and he's running, and he's going nowhere. He's going backwards. He's going to be a big loss. That play, nowhere from the start, and it's going to be second down and long now for the Bulldogs. Make it second down and 16.
Try to get the screen again to Cox, and that time Vikings not fooled. Going to that play just one too many times here.
So second down and 16, Bulldogs.
Boy, second down and what? 15? 16
yeah.
yards. That's not a spot where you want this offense to be in.
See if they can get a good chunk of that here on second down. They hand it off to Cox. Cox against the grain, breaks a tackle across the 30, back to the original line. Third down and 10 coming up.
Yeah, Cox that time cuts it back into the middle. Looks like he had a nice lane to the outside, Chris. But, again, picking up positive yardage here to get this. You know, obviously probably two down territory.
4:25. You've got all three of your timeouts. I don't know. Might be a little too early for four down territory. Let's get the first down and not worry about it. There's a pass that's caught. First down. Ari Vandenberg with another huge catch. About 12 yards. And a beautiful throw by Parker Pettit because the rush was bearing down on him.
Boy, that rush was coming down, and he held in there, and the ball throwing low into the outside, and Vandenberg does a great job of just picking it up off the turf there, and a huge first down, a huge play there in that passing game for the Bulldogs.
That's right, sure-handed Ari Vandenberg with the catch, and the Bulldogs keep possession, more importantly. First down fake, now they throw it out to Frank. Frank gets a couple of 3 yards on the screen play. And it's going to be a second down and 7 coming up for the Bulldogs. Clock stopped with 3:52. Bulldogs nearing midfield at their 48-yard line.
Bulldogs going back to that bunch. They had some success there in the third quarter.
Pettit under center. Hands it off. Nothing doing this time for Garrett Cox.
Boy, Carson Laybourne just whiffed. Just whiffed on his guy, didn't pick him up, didn't see him, and he's able just to scrape over there and just drop. You know, if Laybourne makes that block, Chris, he's got a seam to run into, but the kid chops him right off at the ankles and stops Cox for no gain. Give him a yard.
So third down and 7. 3:18 left, and Jay, you are nearing four down territory with now what will be under 3 minutes left in this one. If you punt it away, you might not get it back. Bulldogs almost at midfield. Pettit looking, throwing, and had to short arm it because he had no room to step up. So it's now decision time, fourth down, trying to get it to Frank.
Yeah, I'd like to see them work again. Vandenberg to the outside. His defender was shaded to the inside. Instead, they ran him down middle of the field where there's really hasn't been any action down the field. That's something we haven't completed all night. Everything's been to the outside. Or on some trickery.
Well, let's see. I think Bulldogs are going to call timeout and think about it. We'll keep it right here. 2:56 left. Well, if you call timeout, you're going for it.
Yep. This is ball game right
here. If you were going to kick it away, you would have done so quickly and tried to get your defense to get a third and out. But the Vikings have had the answers mostly through the passing game tonight. 24-22 Coeur d'Alene, 2:56 left. This scoring update brought to you by 7BTV, your authorized dish retailer, locally owned and operated, ready to help you, a proud sponsor of Bulldog Sports. And what a fantastic game we've had here in the Barlow Stadium War Memorial Field tonight as the Bulldogs have given the Vikings all they wanted and more. Right now with the football, facing a 4th-and-7 with 2:56 left in this game.
Yeah, the Bulldogs, surprisingly going to a couple passing plays here in this drive where they've had some luck on the spread out with Cox out of the backfield, you know, opting to throw the ball a little bit and, you know, got caught in a couple precarious positions here, 3rd and long, and now a 4th down and in 6 yards, which is, boy, tough spot to be in.
Boy, what do you dial up here, 4th and 6?
Look, again, you're looking probably Vandenberg Frank's way here and or an option for Pettit to run the ball.
So, Bulldogs need to get to the 46-yard line of Coeur d'Alene to keep this drive going. 2:55 left. Pettit back, looking, throwing. He's got a man. It's Vandenberg on the out to the 45. That's just enough for a Bulldog first down.
Boy, got drilled on that play. He's able to hold on to it. The ball's thrown a little bit behind him, Chris. He turns into a defender, but he keeps it high and tucks it into his chest. It gets drilled, holds on to it. Big first down, Bulldogs here. Just under 3 minutes to play.
So Pettit now on 1st and 10. 4 wides, 1 back. Cox, handoff to Cox. Cox looking to pick his way through. He does, and they're going to give him 3. Say his knee touched at the 42. So 2nd and 7 again. 2:25. Bulldogs in a semi-hurry up to the line of scrimmage, waiting for the signal to come in. That signal coming in as we speak. And Pettit comes up. Just about 2 minutes left. Bulldogs down 2. Pettit takes a snap. Hands it off to Cox. Cox to the outside. Looks for running room. Finds a little bit, but he's going to be knocked down after a gain of 2. Needed one more block to really get loose. And now the Bulldogs are going to be facing a 3rd and 5.
Yeah, boy, a manageable 3rd and 5 here, Chris. Again, You're looking at Vandenberg short field. If you can't get him on the out, and or Max Frank there on this little bubble screen, and maybe work the sideline.
So Bulldogs getting arranged. 1:35. Clock is really running down on them. 1:30 now.
Taking their time here.
Taking their time. Big play. If you get a first down, maybe get another one off quick. There's a handoff to Cox. Cox caught in the backfield, and he goes backwards. It's going to be 4th and 10, and with 1:14, you might need to call another timeout.
Yeah, just again, that left side, Laybourne, not to call him out, but Laybourne and Durrell to that side just got snowballed. Just too many guys on that side, and nowhere for Cox, who's really laid it all on the field. You can see he didn't have that energy, but really nowhere to run football.
Yeah, as soon as he got the handoff, you knew that unless he was able to pull a serious rabbit out of a hat, that there was going to be trouble. So the Bulldogs facing another 4th down conversion. This one went from a manageable 3rd and 5 to a precarious 4th and 10 with 1:02 left and the Bulldogs only having 1 timeout remaining.
Yeah, Laybourne, Yarno talking to Laybourne there. It's like, going, hey, man, you got to compete here, man. You got to get into this. And, hey, I know you're tired. I know you're tired, but you got to help us out here. You got to make those blocks. And boy, that just went backwards.
So next week we will be on the road in the foreign land of Washington and taking on the Colville squad in Washington at Colville next Friday night. Then the long road trip the week after that, all the way to Homedale.
Yes. Let's see what the Bulldogs can draw up here. This 4th and 10 has not been good to them in through the air here. See if they can't get some kind of route to the outside and near that first down marker.
So 4th and 10, Bulldogs, game on the line.
Got a pass.
Got to get
here.
To the 35. Need some blocking. Pettit snowed under. He's going to go down. Just too much pressure. The Vikings will take over with 56 seconds left. And that should just about do it. Bulldogs probably, barring some sort of offensive miscue by the Vikings, going to come up just a little bit short.
Yeah, just not enough blocking. And, again, you got to be able to sustain a block longer than a second. And when you can't do that, you're going to have stuff like that happen, and it's going to cost you a ball game. So, again, just poorly executed on that the front five. They allowed that that right side to collapse, and boy, you know, Parker just didn't have a chance to allow Max Frank to work down the field and, you know, on that 10-yard out pattern.
Yeah, Parker never had a chance. He never had enough time to get anything going. See you in the morning. So 55
seconds. Oh, we got a penalty
seconds.
Here.
There's
but
a
I think
penalty.
But it's still first down.
Yeah.
You know, the Vikings again, you know, that 5A big deal, you know, they're excited.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing a 4A team. They're supposed to be the lead team in the state, and they're excited about, you know,
going out over Sandpoint.
Yeah, boy, I tell you. And again, they're going to throw it in the face. That's just, again, poor sportsmanship on their part, but it's, you come to expect that from when you deal with the Vikings.
The opinions expressed by Jay Vanderberg are shared by those of myself when it comes to Coeur d'Alene, who takes the kneel in the victory formation. Bulldogs can only stop it one more time. So, second down and long, and the clock rolling inside 40. Bulldogs seem content to not try and stop the clock. And it's going to be a tough loss for the Bulldogs. You know, one way or another, you know, there's a lot of positives that can come out of this game for Sandpoint, and a tough game against Coeur d'Alene. Nearly the ball dropped on the snap, but that's going to do it. The final snap of the game, Coeur d'Alene wins it 24-22. Bulldogs with a big second half comeback. We will step aside in 2 minutes. We will be back with your Columbia Bank postgame show here on Rock 103 and North Idaho's radio.
At Super One Foods in Sandpoint, they say, save time, shop online. Pick up your items or have them delivered to your home. It's so easy. Just go to superonefoods.net and select your items and the time to pick up your groceries at the store in one of the reserved parking spaces or have them delivered to you. It's that simple. And Super One is now hiring with some positions starting at $14 an hour. Apply online at superonefoods.net.
September is an exciting month for the Pondere Winery. It marks the beginning of a new vintage of handcrafted wines made right here in Sandpoint by our dedicated crew. September is also Wine Club Month, so keep a lookout for your wine club shipment or stop by the tasting room at 301 Cedar to pick up your 2019 Primitivo and Cabernet Franc. Members enjoy wine club pricing all month long on these two beautiful wines. We will continue to offer live music on Friday and Saturday nights, so check out our Facebook page or our website at powine.com for the latest news. It's harvest time, so come celebrate with us at the Pondere Winery.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Avenue in Sandpoint. Taco Tuesday is back. Check out Jalapeno's Dine-In Only Special. $3 crispy beef for chicken tacos, $4 Mexican drafts, $6 12-ounce Hornitos margaritas, and $8 for a 16-ounce. Every Monday is Margarita Monday. Order a 12-ounce margarita and get an upgrade to a 16-ounce at no extra charge. Jalapeno's is open Friday through Tuesday and closed Wednesday and Thursday. Great for takeout. Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant.
When you hear a commercial from Mountain West Bank, we're usually talking about providing you a service like totally free checking. Well, this commercial is about totally free tackling, totally free passing, and totally free touchdowns. That's because we sponsor broadcasts of North Idaho High School football so you can listen to games totally free. Of course, there are a few things we hope these games are totally free of. Penalties, fouls, injuries, stuff like that. Mountain West Bank, FDIC. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Mountain West Bank Post Game Show. Coming up, a talk with Coach Knowles, the Jalapeno stat page, and the Mountain West player of the game.
Hey, I got it. Welcome back to Barlow Stadium War Memorial Field as we get set for your Columbia Bank postgame show. The Jalapeno stat page will be coming your way here in just a moment or two. But Coach Knowles right now talking with his squad. We'll be catching him momentarily as soon as he gets done talking with his guys. Some pretty disappointed Bulldog football players right there. And they put up a very game effort tonight in this ball game. And as Coach talks to his team still, I'm going to throw it up to Jay for the Jalapeno stat page, and then he'll throw it back to me when Coach is done.
All right. Hey, thanks, Chris. Offensively, the Bulldogs just outgained the Vikings 311 yards to 208. You know, but it was that undoing of that last drive there by the Vikings, kept it alive by a few penalties by the Bulldogs. The Bulldogs actually ultimately hold them to a field goal, but the Bulldogs really, you know, dominated the whole most of the game after the first quarter. Offensively for the Vikings, Bankston ends up 21 of 32 for 218 yards. But the real story of the game is that Bulldog defense able to stifle the Viking running game. 15 carries minus 10 for the night. A great showing again against a tough Viking team, but the Bulldogs have nothing to hang their heads about. For the Bulldogs offensively, 311 total yards. Parker Pettit, 10 of 22, 131 yards in the air.
Coach!
Garrett Cox leads the league for the Bulldogs, 26 carries, 154 yards and a touchdown as the Bulldogs amass 180 yards rushing on the ground. Vandenberg had five catches for 77 yards, and the sophomore, two catches, 55 yards, and two touchdowns.
All right, we're down here on the field talking with Coach Knowles. Coach, the first thing I want to talk about, the resiliency of your team. You're down 21 to nothing. You fight all the way back. You get the lead there in the fourth quarter. You know, just a strong effort by your squad.
Yeah, I was very proud of that second half. Kind of could feel it. You know, you can feel it. Told the guys at halftime, you know, things are going to slow down for you. I mean, that was a fast-paced first half and first couple of drives. Seen it a lot. You know, you can give up 14 points. The one defensive touchdown, obviously, that's the big play that kind of broke the game. You know, other than that, it was pretty back and forth. And, you know, I'm proud of these guys. I hate losing. It stings. I mean, we had a chance to beat a really good football team right there. And, you know, so we'll lick our wounds, but you know, we'll hit the practice field Monday, ready to go.
Your running game tonight was spectacular. Still trying to find your rhythm in the passing game, though, it looks like.
Yeah, and that's going to take time. That's the hardest thing in football. You know, if you look at Coeur d'Alene's rhythm, you know, in the pass game, it was here and there too. So, you know, what I was proud of is Garrett Cox, just a flat animal. He's gonna be Garrett every week, you know. So it's fun to have him out on the field. Our pass game will come around. You know, we've been rolling through some receivers, but you know, clutch plays by Max Frank and Ari Vandenberg there to you know, to get some first downs. And you know, we had it. I don't think there's anyone on our sideline that doubted that we were going to go down and score. And then you know, we miss a block, two blocks, and that's it. So that's kind of the word to the team afterwards: is the execution. The execution, you know, all the heart and toughness and courage in the world and all that. You got to be able to execute when the game's on the line, and I think we can learn a lot from this lesson.
Well, good luck, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Okay, Jay, back up to you to wrap up the Jalapeno stat page.
All right. Thanks, Chris. Yeah, again, you can't say it any better there from Coach. You know, hey, you got to execute down the stretch. You have two. Over. So Chris works his way up to the stand. Again, you can't say anything about this Bulldog defense and how they really stifled a tough Coeur d'Alene Viking offense. Braden Bankston was able to really pick his way through this secondary. But the Bulldogs really, they bent a little bit, but they never broke. And that defense kept them in the game. And I tell you what, the Bulldogs just, you know, just unable to finish this last drive. And they come up a little bit short. But again, it shows a little bit of what the Bulldogs are about, Chris, as they, you know, work their way through this 5A schedule. I think everybody now is on alert that this Bulldog football team is for real. And you know, once they get the passing game figured out and some of the things up front, that offensive line is still a young offensive line. You've got four underclassmen playing, and you got one senior on that line. So still a thing in progress. But again, you know, hey, thanks. I think Yarner's going to make – they're going to keep on improving. And the rest of these 5A schools, you know, and the rest of the teams on our schedule better be ready to
for
this tough Bulldog
the
team.
The sign at the north end of the field says red alert. And, you know, if you can come in and spot Coeur d'Alene 21 points and really have the game hanging in the balance in the final minute after you've taken the lead and, you know, they kick a field goal late to regain the lead, you know, it's disappointing. It's a bummer for the guys. The coaches are obviously – disappointed because they wanted it so bad, but boy, I think it speaks volumes and very well for the future of this team as the season rolls along. And you know, it's just,
you know, there's no such thing as a moral victory.
No,
but
there's not.
But at the end of the day, you know, hey, tip your hat to the Vikings. They were able to come down and make the plays on that last drive with their back against the wall. They were able to respond to Bulldogs defense. I mean, Chris, we give up, they get a defensive touchdown.
Yes.
You know, that's the play of the game. And,
yeah, it's the difference, the one turnover.
And for the most part, hey, this game's all about Sandpoint winning this game. And, we came up a little bit short.
Well, we had a great time. We thank Barry Burke for giving us the stats tonight. Jay doing a great job on the color, back in the studio. Pat keeping us on the air and making sure everything is flying correctly. Don't forget, next week, join us. It's going to be a great time. We'll be in Colville. Should be an interesting game against Colville, who I believe is playing their first game of the season tonight. And we've got Vandal football tomorrow on North Idaho's radio. And all weekend on our rock station, Rock 103, we're getting the let out. So if you like Led Zeppelin, keep it here on Rock 103. I'm Chris Chaperin. Make it a great night. Good night, everybody.